This show is a proud member of the Nerdy Legion Podcast Network. Get more at nerdylegion.com. Enjoy the show!
Spoiler alert! What Did You Watch This Week is a candid discussion about recent movies and TV shows, and it may contain spoilers if you haven't watched them yet. Listen at your own risk.
Chance he only wants daddy because daddy's busy.
Probably. See, I carry him out of the bathroom. She doesn't. Great opening.
Nobody will be able to hear it.
We can hear it. Hello, everyone. Welcome to episode 162. What Did You Watch This Week? My name is Mike.
And my name is John.
And that first minute plus there was my son crying or not wanting to walk himself out of the bathroom.
Yes.
As opposed to being carried out.
Legs are such a terrible thing.
Hey, you know what? If I could find a giant to carry me around, I would.
I wouldn't.
It'd be fun.
Now, how would that be fun?
I don't know. Wesley seems to enjoy it.
Well, think about it. Somebody who would have to be tall enough to have the same ratio with you, he'd have to be like 15 feet tall to carry you around.
I mean, his life would suck. I get it.
Oh, yeah. Well, how would you get him in your house? You'd have to change all of your doorways. Your second floor would be gone because it would have to all be doorway and open space.
I could just make him a tent outside.
How's he going to carry you around the house?
I meant like...
Are you going to make him wipe you too?
No.
You'll wipe yourself, but then carry you from the toilet to the couch? You didn't think this through?
I was thinking like if it was out... Outside carrying.
Oh, okay.
Like,
well, see, that's a whole different world. Carrying. Then you could just get a bunch of birds to fly you around.
I could get a bunch of birds to fly me around. I would.
Save on gas money.
Mm. Definitely got to save on gas money these days.
Yeah. So, we've got a podcast.
We got a lot of shows to talk about.
Yeah, because this was, as we mentioned last time, this was our bye week, I guess you'd say.
Yeah.
Where we basically had 2 weeks... built up, so we were able to watch a bunch of stuff.
I did watch a bunch of stuff.
To the point where we almost exhausted. I know I'm exhausted from all the stuff that I watched. I didn't even want to watch anything more.
Yeah, I kind of feel the same way. I felt less of the urge to need to, I need watches we can talk about, so I was like, all right, I'm talking about.
Right. A lot of finales.
All the CW shows are gone.
Yep. Game of Thrones finale.
Yep.
Blacklist finale.
Yep.
Let's see.
Superstore
finale. Big Bang Theory had their series finale, which I did actually watch.
I did not watch.
So, yeah, a lot of stuff going away. So, where do you want to begin? Where should we dive in?
Let's just start with them their CW shows.
All right. All right.
Because there's 4 of them to talk about, and only one I care about.
Yeah. Oh, only one at this point, huh?
Well, I don't know. Maybe 2.
1.5. So then let's start with Supergirl. We'll do them in chronological order.
Oh, okay. I had Arrow up, so.
Oh, well, we can do Arrow if you want.
That's all right. Go ahead.
Well, this was interesting because we should preface this by saying that on all 4 of these shows, we not only got the season finale, but the monitor showed up in each of them. To kind of tie into what's coming up in the fall.
He was even on Legends.
Which we'll get into.
Yeah.
But
Legends was amazing. I loved it so much.
We're saving that for the last of the CW shows because that one came on after all the rest of them.
I agree.
So Arrow, the city saved.
Oh, we're going to Arrow after all.
Yeah, why not?
Okay, so Arrow, yeah.
City saved. Oliver and Felicity are going to bow out of the superhero life and escape to the woods. You know, just like they did in season 2 and 3 and 4 and 5. And who fucking cares anymore, really?
I don't
either. But basically the monitor shows back up and he's like, hey, cash in your chip. And tells Oliver, you've got to come with me now because there's a crisis coming and I need you.
Yep.
And you said that you would do anything. Well, here's anything. Which that fully explains why Oliver is missing in the future flash forward episodes that we've seen. And,
right.
Basically, the monitor just walks off with him, and Felicity's all upset, and he's like, yeah, he's not coming back. Sorry.
Well, also, you know, in the future, Felicity and the kids were at his grave.
Yep.
And then she went off with the monitor to go to rejoin him.
Yeah. He's like, you know, where we're going, you can't come back from. And she goes, no, I'm ready.
I'm ready to leave my kids behind.
Yep.
No mother would do that.
No. No, I like how she justified it by saying, you know, I promised him I'd protect you until you could protect yourselves. Bye-bye.
Yeah. I guess they are older. But.
Yeah. But so that kind of it's like, whoa, what's going on?
Yeah.
Is the crisis coming?
But here's the thing. They set it up that we saw the monitor in all the episodes.
Mm-hmm.
But we're not starting the season with a crisis.
Allegedly.
Right.
They did say what? It would be like in the winter, but the shows all start in the fall.
Yeah.
So we're going to get like 8 or 10 episodes before, because Arrow only has 10 episodes
right.
left.
Right.
So allegedly we'll get to see the rest of it leading up to the crisis. Because Flash showed us the date of the crisis.
Yes. Did you see that? Like the Batwoman is starting in the fall now. Not starting after the crisis.
Right.
In the fall.
Yeah. So. Which is interesting.
Anyhow, Supergirl, I do like the fact the episode was called The Quest for Peace.
I laughed my ass off of that.
Yeah, I thought that was pretty hilarious.
Arguably the worst Superman movie.
Yes.
Starring Christopher Reeve.
Yes.
I mean, honestly, we could say that the worst Superman movie ever was Batman vs. Superman Dawn of Justice.
Yeah.
But, yeah.
No, without question.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, it was absolutely the worst Superman movie.
Without question.
I saw an article the other day. I'm not even going to be able to do it justice, but I'll just say this. They prefaced it because apparently Zack Snyder went on another rant recently, and they were like, we're so blessed. Zack Snyder Day comes about only a few times a year, but we're always gifted with such gems.
Oh, yeah.
But he was basically going on to say that Sucker Punch, if you didn't like or understand Sucker Punch, it's because you're sexist and... Yeah, it was dribble.
Well, okay, Brandi Rhodes, this is unrelated to Superman, but it's in the same vein as Zack Snyder. Basically, she said, oh, if you watch all Elite Wrestling's Double or Nothing pay-per-view and you don't like it, then you're not a fan of wrestling.
Yeah. Yeah, because that logic tracks.
Right.
Yeah.
You're just not a fan of their brand of wrestling.
Like, right.
Mike Quackenbush said it best when he talked about wrestling. Yes, I made a lisp issue. Where he talked about Chikara is wrestling is like ice cream. You know, there's all these different flavors, and maybe you like the Chikara flavor of ice cream, but you don't like the WWE flavor, or you don't like Chikara, but you like, you know, ECW or New Japan or All Japan or, you know, Lucha Libre wrestling out of Mexico or, you know, British Strong Style or German Style or whatever it is. All these different flavors, and it's there for everyone to enjoy the flavors they like the most. It's the same thing to be said about movies and TV shows. Mm-hmm. You can use that analogy for anything.
Yeah.
Except Batman vs. Superman.
Dawn of Justice.
Because that was just god-awful. That's black licorice flavored ice cream.
I had a hard time the other day.
Which I like black licorice, so never mind.
Yeah.
Continue.
Or it'd be like Moxie.
I love Moxie. Moxie ice cream is the bomb diggity.
Yeah. Okay. So anyway, John, my friend from work, came up to me and he was talking to me about superhero stuff. And he goes, because he doesn't watch the Marvel movies. He's not a big superhero fan. That's fine. Everybody's entitled to, you know, doing what they want. But he said to me, he's like, look, I got to ask you because I trust you. He said, Batman versus Superman, everyone says that it's so bad. Tell me why. And I said, John, we don't have enough time. I said, we don't have enough time for me to sit here and explain to you. And he goes, but no.
Much like Jimmy Kimmel and Matt Damon, we're just out of time.
Exactly. Exactly. If somebody said, explain to me the Jimmy Kimmel, Matt Damon thing, you'd be like, how much time do you have?
Yeah.
Because it's not something that's as simple as, oh, they're having a fake feud.
Yeah.
I guess it is. But there's so much more to it than that. And I told him, I was like, look, it just – I can't really talk about this without getting angry at what could have been. I said – I gave him a few quick bullet points. You know, Batman's a killer. It all comes down to the name Martha. Batman and Superman decide that it's more important to face off against each other in a stupid, menacing stare down than to stop the truck full of guys with illegal weapons from gallivanting through the city. You know, things like that. And so he kind of accepted that, but I was kind of at a loss for there's no one way to just sum up why this is a piece of garbage.
Right. So here's my thing. I liked Ben Affleck as Batman.
Put your thing away. There are children listening to this.
They can't see it. I liked Ben Affleck as Batman.
Okay.
Both in – when anytime I saw him as Batman, I liked Ben Affleck as Batman.
Okay.
I love Henry Cavill as Superman. Mm-hmm. I think he's great.
Yep.
Wonder Woman is awesome.
Gal Gadot.
You know? Those three aspects still didn't make a good movie.
Nope.
You know what I mean?
They did not.
Like – Mr. Perfect and Shawn Michaels are two of the greatest wrestlers of all time, but every match they had against each other that I've seen has sucked. And it's because they're both the same style of wrestler, so they can't bump their ass off for one another because they're all just bumping, which I know no one will get that, but anyways. That being said, I like them all as the characters they played,
mm-hmm.
but not in this movie.
Correct. I can get behind that as well. By the way, as long as we're on the topic, I just want to say real quickly.
Yeah.
The internet seems to be in an uproar because there are rumors that Robert Pattinson will be the next Batman.
Yeah.
And everyone's freaking out and everyone's screaming because, you know, Robert Pattinson, he was in those Twilight movies. All right. First off, that was a long time ago.
It was.
He's done plenty of other stuff since then. Secondly.
I can't name any of it off the top of my head.
No. But secondly, shut the fuck up.
Yeah.
He's an actor. You know, everybody freaked out when Ben Affleck was going to be Batman. And then he did a solid performance.
Zachary Quinto as Spock.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. All these fanboys are screaming and crying. Yeah. Robert Pattinson. You know what? Everything that I saw of him on the screen, he has a very good poker face.
Yeah.
A very dour expression. I think he could pull off Batman very well.
I hope he doesn't go Christian Bale voice, though.
No, I hope so, too. I hope he just reins it in and does a little Kevin Durant, you know?
But
I'd rather see that.
People, I saw this thing online, though. Someone posted, like, from an old school, like, newsletter thing, fanboy thing of Batman that someone wrote when Michael Keaton was cast as Batman back in 1989, 88, you know. And it was basically the same thing people are saying about Robert Pattinson. So I thought, or what is that? Is it Pattinson?
Robert Pattinson.
Pattinson, thank you. So I thought that was hilarious.
I did see one thing that I actually thought was a fucking phenomenal idea.
Was it Michael Keaton, old man?
And Robert Pattinson.
And then showing Batman Beyond?
Yes.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I can get behind that.
I know it was just a mashup and it'll never happen.
But that would be cool.
It would. Yeah. Michael Keaton as old man Batman?
Mm-hmm.
Oh. Oh, yeah. Yeah. Of course, at this point, we could probably have Ben Affleck as old man Batman. But
again, the three movies I saw, Ben Affleck as Batman and Suicide Squad, Batman, First Man, Dawn of Justice, and Justice League, I enjoyed him as Batman.
I can't believe that you're counting Suicide Squad. I mean, he was in that for like 0.5 seconds.
He was in it, right?
Yeah.
Okay. Did I hate it? Nope. Did I hate him in the movie?
Okay.
Nope.
I had to pause there for a second. I'm like, where's the rim shot? Where's the joke?
Actually, Suicide Squad, in the movie of itself, if you ignore everything, there's some really good... If you ignore the comic book world, if you just, you know, what?
You need to get the name right. It's not Suicide Squad. It's Academy Award-winning Suicide Squad.
Is it really?
It is. It won an Academy Award for the music. That is an Oscar-worthy picture for the music.
Okay. Well, anyways.
How's that taste?
Yeah, that's real odd, actually.
If you ignore everything, including the shitty soundtrack.
If you ignore the comic book side of things, that it was a comic book. Because it's the same thing with Venom. Like, Venom, to me, when I watched Venom, I didn't think it was a bad flick. Yes, it does not even come close to following the comic book storylines. There's so many holes in it. Same thing you said with Suicide Squad. But there's some moments in Suicide Squad that are actually really good moments in the movie.
Yeah. The Warner Brothers logo was awesome. The beginning of the credits roll.
I actually really enjoyed the scene when Will Smith is in prison and they bring him the guns.
Yes.
Okay. And he's like, you're not going to give me a loaded gun, da da da. And it is. I love it when he actually fires the gun the first time and then he pulls it right to his nose to smell the gunpowder and everything like that. and then he just goes crazy on the targets.
Yep.
I thought that scene was fantastic.
Absolutely.
That absolutely showed someone who is a gun fanatic who is very good with them.
I also thought that Margot Robbie did a good job of playing a Harley Quinn that was believable.
Yes.
You know, for a character that doesn't have a lot of backstory. Correct. Like most of these others.
Right.
You know, she only started in the 90s.
And let's not forget, Harley Quinn was invented in the Batman the Animated Series, not even the comic books. She was invented in the Batman the Animated Series as a Joker foil.
Yep.
You know.
I also really, really liked the throwaway Native American guy who was really good with ropes until his head blew up. Never got a speaking line, just got to shoot his rope, start swinging, and then his head exploded.
He didn't listen.
So back to Supergirl.
So basically in this episode...
Quest for Peace.
Yeah.
Which had an awful lot of similarity to the movie.
It really did.
Kind of creepy.
So basically Lex makes himself look like a hero.
Yeah,
for this
saves
invasion,
the world.
For this invasion that he started.
Mm-hmm.
Because everyone has superpowers now.
Now remember, we're talking about the episode of Supergirl, not the movie Superman IV, The Quest for Peace.
Which is the same thing.
Where Lex Luthor saved the day.
John Jones and Nia get sent off to Shelly Island with Red Daughter so they can power stuff.
Yeah. Brainiac had an interesting twist the episode before this where he kind of compartmentalized and reset himself and kind of turned back into a classic Brainiac. You know, he brought up his ancestors' motives and brain scan, so he was a villain for, you know, half an episode. I thought it would have been a really interesting take for the next season to have him be like that.
He's a good guy again.
Yeah.
And at the end of the episode, they're all there together.
Yeah.
But basically, Supergirl fights Lex. Yep. She's not doing so well because he's in his Lexo suit. He's Iron Man, okay? He's Lexo Iron Man.
Nice. Yeah. Yeah, he's Iron Man, but, you know, with bigger blasters, I guess.
I don't know. She's not faring too well. Red Daughter comes out. She saves Supergirl from being struck by the Kryptonian blaster and Krypton blaster and then apparently dies. And then her essence...
Yeah, apparently it was strong enough to kill her.
And her essence is then put into Kara, I guess.
Now remember,
Highlander's this.
Hold on. Now you got to remember that the episode before this, Kara was dead, air quotes, until she, in the middle of the night, absorbed the sunlight out of the grass under her.
That's true.
Because Alex goes, isn't there sunlight in grass? And then it started like going up into her, and she's like, she's doing it! And I went, bullshit, she is. Absorbing the sun. And I'm sure that Superman has done this in some comic. I'm sure that it's happened.
Probably.
There's probably some precedent out there for it.
So anyways.
So yeah.
She absorbs Red Daughter like it's the Highlander. One. Yeah. And then destroys Lex.
Yeah.
And then he wants to make it look like he dies, but he really transports out of his suit at the last second.
Yeah.
I almost said Lana. It's not Lana.
Lena.
Lena's right there. She kills him. Mm-hmm. They killed Lex Luger.
Yeah.
Lex Luthor, I mean, on the show. Lex Luger's a wrestler.
Yes.
They killed Lex
That's
Luthor.
That's a third wrestling reference that you've made tonight.
I need to watch more.
Yes, that's the problem.
Yeah, killed Lex Luthor on the show.
With a bullet, just like shot him right in the chest.
Yeah, like twice, and
course he got a nice villain monologue at the end there.
Yes.
Where he got to tell her that she's been played the fool because here's all these video surveillance things that I did, which are clips from the show,
right,
and not actually video surveillance.
Correct.
Look, Kara Danvers is actually Supergirl. Ha ha ha.
You fool.
Yeah. Everybody knew except for you. Everybody. They all laugh at you behind your back.
They're all going to laugh at you.
Which, up until this point, Lena has been, that was one of his weakest, but it was still great.
It was amazing. Yeah, he just brought that back. Did you watch the Adam Sandler episode of Saturday Night Live?
It was so good.
Dude, he brought her, like, of all the characters he brought back. The Adam Sandler family reunion where all his family members, the characters he plays from his CD albums. I love it. And then the mom shows up, they're all going to laugh.
Oh, that was awful. Up until this point, Lena's always been level-headed to the point where, like, as soon as we think she's going to go villain, she's like, no, I'm smart enough to, you know, not care about this.
I'm looking to fill through this.
Yeah. And yet, Lex twisted that knife just right.
Yeah.
And you know, Supergirl, Kara almost told her the truth. They were on the plane. She was like, she was about to tell her. And then Lena just sat there spouting off about how, you know, Tessmacher got into under her skin.
Lied to her the whole time.
Yeah, blah, blah, lied blah. About who she really is. So I can never trust anybody like that again. She betrayed me. And Kara's like, ooh, put those glasses back on.
But then at the end of the day, they're all sitting around with John Jones's house to play video play games together.
It's game night.
The whole crew.
Family game night.
Yeah, your family. Come on in. You know, Jimmy with his eye patch.
Yep. Yar.
And no powers now.
Because he was cured, they had those giant needle things that could suck the RNL out so that, you know, that was done with. Which, that came from one of the funniest lines of the entire two episodes there, which was Mama Luther. Who Lena came down and she goes, oh, we're going to have to check this. And she goes, honey, I've been working with this stuff all afternoon. I know how it works. It's an alien rock. You've never touched it before in your life. And she's like, I've been working with it all afternoon. I know how it's going to affect this person. But yeah, so we find out, you know, they're all doing that. And then Lena has the scene where she sees the picture of her and Kara and Alex. And she like slams it down to crush it so that, you know, we could see that now she's going to be a villain. Miss Tessmacher is sitting on that bus bench and that little old woman starts talking to her about how Leviathan is coming and we don't take too kindly. And, you see that everybody around there is Leviathan.
Yeah.
And
speaking of that, you know, there's in DC Comics right now, there's a event Leviathan.
Oh, is that what they're doing?
Yeah.
Ah.
Which is hilarious because Brian Michael Bendis, who's writing the new Superman book that I'm really loving, is writing the series. There's going to be a 6-issue series book. It's not as DC. And then there's a special like double size annual like edition pre-event whatever. And then Free Comic Book Day comic had a little sneak peek of it. So yeah, it's called The Event Leviathan. So I think that's why I thought it was hilarious when on Supergirl
that's probably what they're drawn from too.
Yeah,
you know, they're probably like, this is really good and people will know it. But then we see the monitor show up. And he opens up a portal and he pulls in a shadowy figure and he's like, you're needed on this planet. You need to go set some balance right, blah, blah, blah. And it's another Green Martian.
Yeah.
Who, I don't know if he's been pulled from a different reality, you know, a different dimension.
No, or... it's John Jones' brother.
So I thought that John Jones was by himself. So this guy's just been, what, chilling out?
I don't know. But in his alien voice, he's like, I'm coming for you, John Jones.
Right. And then the monitor goes and makes a stop to Lex Luthor.
Fetches his body.
Yep. We don't know what he's doing. Is he bringing it back to life? Is he doing something else with him? Is he going to just have a little Lex marionette and go, hi, I'm Lex Luthor? So that was also setting stuff up. So then we come to the Flash.
Yeah.
Flash. Which, this episode just proved why Eobard Thawne needs to be the villain of the next season. Needs to be the villain all the time.
Because his... The brilliant plan of the fact that the cicada's dagger was preventing him from having powers the whole time. Yeah.
Yeah. And so we got to flashback to the episode this season where Barry and Nora went back in time to first season and talked to Thawne and she blurted out cicada. And he was like, I'm going to have to remember that name. And so he knew that he had to, based on that knowledge, he knew that he had to find out about cicada and then create a cicada that would be able to be defeated because cicada was never defeated in the original timeline. So he sent Nora back to change the timeline so that they could create a cicada that could be defeated so that the dagger could be destroyed and he wouldn't be. I mean, it was Eobard Thawne.
It's a genius plan.
It is.
Yeah.
It was so perfect. And when he got out of that chair and he had the eyeliner on and he just went around killing all the guards and was about to kill the. And they rewound time and got them all out of there. Just seeing Tom Cavanaugh like that, I'm like, this needs to be it. This needs to be the villain of the next season.
Yeah, it was awesome.
Never have we seen a foil do so much against the Flash and for the Flash as Eobard Thawne.
And he's free now.
Yes.
Like, they, you know, like he escaped. They captured him. He escaped again.
They beat the crap out of him.
Oh, they did. But then he escaped again. But not before revealing that because... In this new timeline now,
Nora's gone.
Nora's gone.
Yeah.
And the only way to prevent her from being erased is if she goes into the negative speed force.
And she won't do it.
So she gets erased. Yep. Which I was very surprised.
I was too.
Yeah.
Like, that was That was a big, not really a shocker, but it was like, wow, that's really noble of her. What's up with that?
Now, here's the thing, and I don't know. Do you think they're going to forget she... Well, no, they won't forget she ever existed because they experienced her before she was born.
Right.
So it's not one of those time loops where...
No, we'll like leave, we got we'll leave Legends. Endgame
yeah.
logic out of the... Oh, yeah. So, yeah. Basically, it was the greatest plan.
Yeah.
They destroyed the dagger. One of my biggest problems, though, was... Sisko, I know he doesn't want to be on the show anymore.
Yes.
But for him to write himself off that way by saying, I got to take the cure because I've always just been Vibe and Sisko has to have a chance to live. First off, bullshit. Well,
you've not always just been Vibe. You've only been Vibe for 5 seasons.
Not even that, because the whole first season he wasn't Vibe.
Oh, that's true, yeah.
So he's been Vibe for 4 seasons and his girlfriend... accepted it and loved it and wasn't like a groupie, but was like, I totally get it. You know, yeah. You've got your thing to do. I'll still be here for you. Yeah. So he had everything going for him. And he's like, dude, I got to take the cure. No, you don't. You piece of shit. Carlos, I love the character that you've had on there, but that was just ridiculous. That was absolutely ridiculous.
Singh gets promoted and Joe becomes the new captain, which makes perfect sense because Jesse L. Martin's in rough shape, and
yep.
This keeps him on the show, but keeps him out of the action.
Yep.
Did you like the fact that Sisko basically says, hey, by the way, I know your flesh will die? Yeah, that's what I thought.
I did like that Dibny got the folder on his desk, and I can't remember the name on it, but it's basically his main love interest in the comics.
I didn't even recognize it.
Yeah, that. He picked it up and looked at it, and I honestly can't remember it. I didn't take a note on it, but
yeah.
He looked at it, and it's like, oh, I know that name, and I looked it up, and yeah. And apparently Killer Frost must have a costume now, because Sisko said, oh, I made one thing up for you before I left. And she opened a box and was like, oh, and I'm assuming it's a costume for her.
Probably.
Sherlock
came back to his own planet as well.
Yep, took Irene with him.
Yep, which I think is great.
It is awesome.
I like the fact that not only did he fall in love with this Irene, but like he married many other Irenes that he owes money to. That's who he's hiding from. I thought that was hilarious.
I loved the fight with Thawne, honestly. I know that everybody kind of beat him up, but I loved
kinda.
Right in the beginning
yeah.
when he was facing off against Barry and Nora and he split himself into two and took off.
Yeah.
Like, they can't do that. Like,
right.
Barry's been able to split himself in like crisis type things,
right.
But you know, Thawne's just like, yep, there's two of me, go. And then like that one scene where they're coming towards each other and one goes low, the other one goes high, so that Barry and Nora completely miss and clonk each other. Loved it. It was great. But then, you know, the whole team comes along because they're basically like, yeah, we've got a team and you're just yourself. And
it makes sense though.
Oh yeah, you absolutely.
Know, it's always, I hate wrestling when you have matches that are like 2-on-1 handicap matches and mm-hmm. the one guy beats the other two.
Yeah.
What?
Yeah,
there's two guys. Even at their shittiest, there's two of them.
I've got a similar thing to talk about in one of the movies that I watched this
okay.
week. So.
But the coolest thing or the biggest thing is the newspaper date changed from 2024 to 2019.
Yes.
Which was cool.
Yes. So we didn't actually see the monitor, did we?
No, not in this one.
But
no.
We saw the newspaper roll back to 2019.
Yes. Yes.
So the crisis is coming even sooner. 5 years sooner.
And now we go to Legends.
All right. We say this a lot.
Yeah.
I'm going to say it again.
Sure.
I love this show.
I do love this show.
This show is so ridiculous, and so much ridiculous happened in this episode.
It's absurd, and I love it.
Everything about it. So, start us at the beginning.
With the final, we're just doing the season finale, right?
Correct.
Okay.
Well, I mean, if you want to dredge up a little bit from the one before that, go right ahead, but... We're doing the finale right now.
Well, because I think we have 2 episodes to talk about.
Then let's
That's
do it.
Why. Because, like, all right, so, well, no, did we, because, I don't remember. Gary, Tabitha is now hooked to Gary.
Yes.
And the Legends are trying to take the Time Bureau back, and Tabitha's trying to get Gary to do bad things to them. So he keeps pushing for things like a book club.
Mm-hmm. Because he just wanted to spend time with them.
Yes.
Gary made a lot of good points in this.
Well, okay, no. The first 40 minutes of it, Gary pissed me off horrifically.
Oh, yeah.
Because it's like, okay, I understand Gary's supposed to be the slapstick idiot character, but this is over the top and beyond bounds.
Oh, wicked bad.
It went past the Legend's normal cuteness to annoying levels.
Yes. Yeah, he became the talking dog of
yes.
the show.
Yes, exactly. So Gary, though, basically does reveal that, hey, the reason why I'm doing all this stuff and making all these wishes is because, A, I just want to spend time with you because I think we're friends and we're supposed to be family, you know, and because Tabitha keeps trying to make me do horrible things to you and I don't want to.
And I'm trying to protect you.
Yeah.
But he basically tells them, he's like, you know what? You guys have been dicks to me all along. You think I'm a loser. You make no qualms about that. You treat me like crap. And I've done nothing but try to be good to you and try to help you.
Right.
And it's a good point. You know, like you said, he's always kind of been the slapsticky, you know, right. Oh, it's Gary again. Oh, he's that stupid guy. But he's done nothing but try to help. And everyone just shits on him constantly. Yep. So he's right to be a little pissed.
Correct. Yeah, I agree with that. So Tabitha on the other side of the track, though, is being all buddy-buddy to Nora and making her feel like, oh, I really don't want to do all this stuff. But, you know, he's I just want to say Theon. It's not Theon.
Wow.
Neron. Neron is making me.
Neron Greyjoy?
Yeah, exactly. But Neron's making me and, you know, da-da-da-da. And essentially, Tabitha tricks Nora into taking the wand.
Becoming the fairy godmother.
Becoming the fairy godmother so she can save, help me out here. Not Maureen.
I can't think of her name either. Wolf girl.
The wolf girl.
Yeah.
Yeah. But what actually happens is that she...
Tabitha's not free of being a fairy godmother.
But she's still a witch.
Yep.
And has her staff.
Her maleficent staff.
Yes, basically. And now Nora is stuck being at the beck and call of Gary. So then once the legends get through to Gary and he forgives them and he says, all right, I'll send Tabitha to hell to get Constantine and Rey back. And he just wishes her to hell to do it, but doesn't look to see it's Nora.
One of the best lines of the show, because Nora's been out of all this. And he's like, oh, fairy godmother. She appears, doesn't even turn around to see that it's Nora. Just goes, I wish you would go to hell and help Constantine get Rey's soul back. And she starts flying. They're all like, Gary, Gary. And you just hear Nora go, Gary, you dick.
Oh, and Zari and company, mm-hmm. Sought shelter at Zari's house when she was a kid, her parents' house, and of course leaves the backpack with the dragon egg in it.
Right. I didn't quite know where they were going at first with that because I forgot that it was the dragon egg in the backpack, and then I remember it. I'm like, oh, shite.
Yeah, and the egg hatches.
Yeah.
So now we're in the final episode, and Neron...
appropriately titled, Hey World.
Right.
Not because you're saying, hey, world.
But, hey, world. Yeah. Basically, they've...
This is how convoluted this show is, and it's wonderful.
So, Neron creates this app that people can download, and it's got a huge terms of service agreement, which is just kind of genius, because no one reads those. When you accept it, inside the terms of service agreement, it basically says that you're giving your soul to Neron.
Yeah.
And also...
But they can use the app to report sightings of mystical creatures on the loose because all mystical creatures are bad and evil.
Yes. And then, you know, of course he proves it and some people do it and they download the app and this and that. And they're trying to build off fear. And if they can build off enough fear, he wants to open a portal to hell so all his minions can escape hell. And he can rule hell on earth and destroy the earth.
Which, everybody thought that he was just trying to rule hell.
No, he
just wanted the same amount of souls so that...
Yeah. He wants to rule the earth and destroy earth and bring hell on earth.
Yeah.
That's his plan. So the legends think we have to show everybody that these mystical beings and creatures can be good and there's nothing to fear. How do we do that? Oh, if Hayworld only existed, the world that Nate's dad was trying to build apparently before with the deal he made with the devil to make it happen and then was killed. If only Hayworld existed, then, you know, we could put on little shows and people could see that these creatures are great. So they steal the book from earlier in this season or maybe even last season where when you draw or write in the book, it comes to life.
Mm-hmm.
And that's how they make Hayworld appear overnight is he draws it and it just magically appears.
Yep.
And I love the fact that
I love the fact that the book, at first they were like, we're going to have to break into the Time Bureau to get it. It's going to be really hard. And then Rory just like hands it and goes, it was. Here you go. Because they don't have time for that in this episode. Yes. They're like,
so
great.
So Rory just goes and does it. I like Rory and the ogre drinking together. And it's like, no one outdrinks me. Because the ogre's just pounding beer. So, gosh, I love it. So, they build Hayworld. They have to run a commercial for it. So they film a commercial where Sarah pretends to be Supergirl and Gary is the Flash and Nate's Arrow.
Yeah.
And I love the fact that, wait, can't you just, like, get the real people to come and be in the commercial? We asked them. They said, big pass. Guess we should have been in the crossover after all.
Which was awesome. It's so meta.
Yeah. Guess we should have been in the crossover after all.
Uh-huh. And then somebody points out, they're like, okay, but still, why are we advertising superheroes when there are no superheroes in this place? It's not a superhero theme park. It's for magical monsters. And they're like, nobody's going to come if they think magical monsters are there. They're evil. We're trying to convince them that they're not, but they're going to have to come if they think superheroes are there.
So it's false advertising on purpose.
Yeah.
Don't forget Zari. The egg hatches. She meets the dragon as a baby Zari, or little girl Zari.
Mm-hmm.
She's a loser at school because she gets picked on, I guess, because of her ethnic, because she's brown. So she gets picked on. So she brings the dragon to school, and it dances for her.
Mm-hmm.
And uses the app to report the mystical dragon, and Time Bureau people zap in, grab it, and zap out.
Yep.
So that's important to know.
Yes.
And then now we're in Hayworld. Constantine is back.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, God, they brought back Vandal Savage.
Okay. We need to talk about this for a second.
Okay.
Because Constantine does this whole thing where he gets his old protege who has been banished to hell with...
Okay, Astra? Astra.
Astra.
Okay, back in the original Constantine series on NBC years ago, the reason why he's so upset and hurt and da-da-da-da-da is because this little girl's soul got sucked to hell and he's going to go to hell for it and his whole life sucks because of this.
Mm-hmm.
We finally meet her.
Yeah. Yeah, which is awesome.
Yes.
Again, sticking to this continuity that they didn't have
to. Constantine has to choose between saving Rey and saving her.
As a little girl.
He talks
through the triumvirate there. It's like Satan, Belial, and Beelzebub, which are all names for Satan normally, but in this case, there's three different. Yeah.
So he chooses Astra, which is not a surprise because...
At his core, he's a selfish person.
Yes, and that's why I mean it's not a surprise.
Yeah.
And because he's also, like, this has been haunting him for decades, or whatever it is.
Yeah.
Years and years and years.
Plus, she's presented to him as a little girl. Where he's like, raise a grown man, he can help himself.
Well, all of a sudden, when he sees her, she's a grown woman who's made the best of the things down here,
uh-huh.
and she likes it down here, and she's real good at manipulating people and getting what she wants.
Yep.
And yada, 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 yada. So, F off, Constantine.
Yeah. So then in this episode, he goes to her, and he's like, we need to do a heist, basically.
Yes.
We need to go get the soul of Rey, and it belongs to Neron. She's like, so we're going to break into a bank and get this soul?
Because souls are coins.
Yes.
So the way the soul is stored, instead of being like an actual physical person in hell, it's a coin. And that's how people, they go to the bank and they have their own vault with all these coins in it. And on one side is the name of the person whose soul that's the coin represents.
Yep.
And they need to go get Rey's.
And Astra, I mean, she doesn't even really need to be. She kind of does because basically they pull a Star Wars. You know, she leads in the prisoner and says, this is John Constantine. Neron is the new boss, as you've heard from the PA announcements.
Yes.
He wants John Constantine's soul. If you don't let me march him in here, we're all going to be in trouble.
Right. And he's like, I'm not feeding him. I'm this because, you know, I'm a banker. We keep coins here, not people.
Yeah. And turns his back and they knock him out.
Her.
Yeah. So they go in there and they find Rey's coin.
Nora comes in as the fairy godmother. They find Rey's coin because, like, her wand finds it.
Yes.
But in the meantime, Astra's taking, like, Genghis Kong and Stalin and Hitler and all these other...
real bad guys. Caligula.
Yeah. taking their coins for, you know, later.
Right. So that leads us to they use the coin to be transported to Rey's soul. And they find him. It sounds like he's being tortured, but he's actually in a room with Vandal Savage.
Playing giant Jenga.
Now, Vandal is just being buddy-buddy with him.
Yes.
I love this guy. They sent me in here to torture him, but this is Rey.
After we chatted, you know, we realized we had a lot in common, and I know why I was the way I was. It's about a girl. Don't get me started.
Yeah. So, any other show in the Arrowverse, any other show, period.
Yeah.
What would have happened next is they told Rey, you know, we're ready to get you back to Earth. And he's like, all right. And they lock hands together with a fairy godmother's wand and they warp up to Earth. Any other show, Vandal Savage would have reached right out and grabbed a hold so that he could have been transported out of hell.
Yeah.
Because that's the way it works. Villains are like that. Not in Legends.
No.
Because Legends is so fucking cool with how it is and who it is that Vandal watches them fly away, then just kind of chuckles and goes, oh, man, the Legends. I love those guys. All right, back to Jenga. And he turns around.
Yeah.
That's it. He's not trying to escape. He's not trying to get out of hell. He's like, okay, whatever. Those guys are cool. See you later. And that was, again, Legends of Tomorrow basically saying, we know what we are. We are a completely goofy show,
yep.
And we own that shit.
Think about how Sarah is now, her character, compared to how she was when we met her.
On Arrow? Yeah. I was so impressed by the Vandal Savage thing. It made me, I like had to pause because I was like, bravo. You know, the fact that he didn't, he wasn't like, oh, I'm going to hitch a ride. I kept waiting for it to happen. And then it didn't. And I went, of course it didn't.
Right.
If it was Arrow, if it was, you know, Flash, absolutely he would have.
So we're at Hayworld.
So we're at
Hayworld. And you have Nate and Canary out there, or Sarah out there. What's her? I even forgot.
White Canary.
It is White Canary. Okay. Yep. And we haven't seen her in her costume in so long, I feel like.
I know.
So they're out there, and they are putting on a show for the kids, and the people are loving it, and they're cheering, and this and that. You even see the monitor eating popcorn
okay. In
the stands.
So again, we've got the monitor who's been, like, all gloom and doom. So they're trying to do their show and make it seem real, yeah. And you see the monitor standing up there, like, very disapprovingly, and you're like, yes. Oh, no, he's here to bring the pain.
Yes.
And then they flash back to the Legends failing again, and then they flash back to him, and you're right, he's just, like, eating
popcorn in the stands. Yeah.
Because, again, it's Legends, and even the most dour guy, he's like, this is cool, I'll watch this show.
So they bring out the
bag. That's all we see of him.
Right. We don't see him. He doesn't do anything else.
Perfect.
So they bring out, like, the ogre and all the other mystical creatures who start trying to show their talents.
Dude, it was the worst. It was so cheesy.
And the people hated it.
Oh, yeah. Because they're like, wait a minute, he just wants to shred on his guitar. And he's like, brown. They're like, this is stupid.
We want to see the superheroes.
Yeah. Yeah, they weren't even mad that it was mystical creatures. They're just like, we want the heroes.
So Tabitha shows up and brings the dragon.
Mm-hmm.
And the dragon is scaring people now.
Because it's bigger now.
Yes. Oh, they've made it a huge dragon who's flying around and threatening people. And
terrible CGI.
Oh, yeah. And they are, it's bad. So
but everybody kind of stops and comes back because they're like, oh, dragon.
Well, no, they're like, they've all run away. But then when they get outside, the dragon appears outside, right. Chases them back in. And they're absorbing all their fear into Tabitha's thing. And Neron shows up and everything. And just when it looks like the dragon's going to kill someone, your little girl Zari shows up. And she says, you know, like whatever the dragon's name is.
Yeah.
Stop. Dance. And the dragon starts dancing. And then people are like, wait a second. And the dragon's dancing for her and everyone's happy. And then the dragon eats Tabitha.
Mm-hmm.
And then when he gets done eating her, her magic spell breaks and he becomes a little baby dragon again.
Yep.
In the interim, Zari, adult Zari, is off in the time.
She's in the Wave Runner.
But she's in the Wave Runner in an area where.
A temporal safe zone.
Yeah, temporal zone. Because if they change, because of what they're doing, Zari's family isn't ousted anymore because the Metahuman Act doesn't take place anymore.
Because Hayworld brings everybody together.
Yes. And so her family isn't sent away, and she doesn't become a legend.
And basically they're like, we don't want that to affect you, so stay in the temporal safe zone.
She lives. Her brother, who is supposed to inherit the medallion,
yep.
doesn't die anymore.
So right.
She never gets it. She never becomes a legend.
So they're like, please stay safe.
So, yeah. So she needs to stay in the temporal zone so she doesn't actually change. And yep. She knows what's going on. Otherwise, she's going to forget all them. She's never going to live the last 2 years of her life. But her brother's going to be around. In the end, though, it's better for her family. Because her family's not living in secrecy and hiding and being terrorized and killed. And her brother doesn't die. And on and on and on. But because she wants to stay with the Legends and they don't want to lose another team member, she stays in this temporal zone. So she's not there.
Right.
She's trying to help from afar, but she's not there.
Now, we have to go back a little bit because it was discovered by Constantine that the deal where Rey gave over his soul to Neron, or his body to Neron, was that he did it so that Nate wouldn't be hurt.
Yes.
So they use the Hercules in the Disney movie logic with Hades, where they're like, so Constantine, being the pragmatic person that he is, basically says, so if Nate gets hurt, then Neron's broken the deal. And they're like, we're not going to let Nate get hurt. He goes, I'm just saying, it's a solution. So they're like, it's not even a plan B.
But, I mean, so then Neron shows up after Tabitha's killed, and he uses the fear to open the portal.
Yep.
But no one's come out yet because now him and Constantine are going to fight. But then he grabs Constantine and kills him.
Snaps his neck with one hand.
And then we find out it's actually not Constantine, that it's Nate.
Yeah.
And Nate. Now the deal's been broken. Neron broke the deal. So he's
ejected from Rey's body.
Yes.
Which leaves him pretty much powerless.
And Constantine smokes him.
The real Constantine.
The real Constantine appears and smokes him. So now Nate's dead. And everyone's upset.
But Neron's also dead, and the portal's been sealed.
Yes, Nate's dead, Neron's dead, the portal's been sealed.
Zari now comes out.
Even though she knows that it's going to make her, you know, well, yeah, she comes out because she wants to help Nate, and this is why Legends works.
I know we've said that a few times tonight, but...
And this is why Legends is amazing. So, Zari starts singing Sweet Baby James by James.
No, she doesn't.
The ogre starts it?
No. So Nate appears in the rafters above the tent.
Oh, yes. With his dad. Yes, that's right.
And his dad's like giving him a little pep talk, and he's like, you know, you did good, kid. I wish we could have had more time together. Yeah. Then his dad possesses Rory and sings the first line.
Starts singing the first line, yes.
Sweet Rory does it horribly.
But it's Sweet Baby James James Taylor.
Yep. And then Rory just does like the first bit of it and then snaps out of it, and he's like, what are you looking at?
Yeah.
But then Zari takes over and starts singing it as well.
And
because why?
Because it's Legends.
Because
it's Nate's song from like earlier in the year, isn't it?
And because they realized that if fear could have powerful magic, then so could love.
But before they realize that, they start singing it.
Mm-hmm.
And then the ogre starts playing it on his guitar and singing it. And then they have this realization, like Constantine's one that's like, you know, maybe love, because they see Tabitha's staff glowing blue now instead of red, because we all know red's evil, blue's good.
Right. G.I. Joe.
Exactly. And they get everyone to sing. And I like to think of it as like Elf, and they're all singing. And James Caan has to sing to give that little bit extra juice. Yep. That doesn't happen, but, you know. Anyways, but they all start singing.
It would have been a lot cooler if it did.
They all start singing Sweet Baby James, which is hilarious. But I'm like, this makes sense.
Of course it does.
I'm not going to lie. I got a little emotional because I was loving it so much.
Didn't they even make a reference in the episode during this part where they were like, well, didn't we just Voltron a Bebo last season or something like that? So they know that they're ridiculous. Yes. They're like, we're going right into it.
We're just doing it. This show has gotten so good.
Oh, it has. It has, for being so ridiculous.
Yes. The last two seasons especially have just been amazing. And it really goes back to season 3 when Damian Darhk showed up to Return of the Mac. That's what started it. Well, I think that got I think that's what really started it. And he just said, I'm not going to cancel this anyway, fuck it.
Exactly. And then him showing up in the blonde wig as Thor. Yeah. Just like, they are leaning fully into this schlick. So they sing, and everybody sings. The audience sings. Everybody gathers around and does the kumbaya of this song. And
Nate comes back to life. They use the magic of Tabitha's staff to bring Nate back to life.
They touch his chest, and boom, he's back
to life. Let's not forget, Nora's still a fairy godmother, isn't she?
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't know to who. Gary still?
I don't think so.
I hope they address this.
Yes.
Either way.
Yeah.
So Nate's excited.
And then we got an awesome scene.
Well, Nate sees Nora, and he's like, Zari, and he's like, no, like.
And she's like, I couldn't let you be dead.
I couldn't let you stay dead.
And so they kiss.
And they hug.
Yeah. They kiss passionately, and then they hug, and they embrace for this one hug, and the camera pans around them. And then as it pulls out.
It's a guy that we don't know.
Yeah.
Like, legit don't know.
And he's like, dude, bro, that was a little bit close for a hug.
No, no. He goes, I had a little more pelvis in it than normal. I thought that was hilarious.
That was hilarious. And the fact that Nate just rolled right with it. He's like, oh, man, I'm just happy to see you.
No, there was a delay. He was like, huh? And then he rolled with it.
That's right.
Yes. Like his brain had to catch up to not knowing who Zari was.
Yep.
And then everyone's just happy, and they walk off, and he walks off with them.
Because he has the bracelet.
So he's got the bracelet, and it's just, that was good.
It was
done great. Well.
So far, the only thing that I've seen about Zari is that we will see the actress next season.
I'm sure we will.
And they said that the showrunner was like, Nate's free to go look for her if he wants, but he's not going to like what he finds.
Well,
it's a different version.
But he wouldn't go look for her if he doesn't know who she is.
But it's legend, so something's going to jar his memory. Yeah. Something's going to remind him. All in all, super.
And then the last thing that we see, really, is Astra in Hell.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
Souls that she stole for the soul exchange, saying everyone deserves a second chance.
Yeah, she wants to make a withdrawal. Yeah. And
so is this going to go towards the new Constantine show that they've been talking about, possibly?
I don't know.
Replacing Legends, or... Right.
Or is their next season going to be trying to track down all these horrible people?
This is what I know. I love Legends.
Mm-hmm.
I love the fact that we got Constantine back on Legends.
Yes. Know?
Like, it's just, to me, that's amazing. And he's been great and perfect on Legends, you know?
Yes, absolutely.
Someone the other day said, like, they were talking about there's going to make the Constantine 2 with Keanu Reeves possibly and blah, 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 and how great it would be. And my comment was, Matt Ryan's Constantine, enough said.
Yeah.
Like, end of discussion.
Done.
Yeah. Oh, that's what it said on Stan Lee's bumper sticker. Like, make
enough said.
It said make love, not war. Enough said.
Yeah,
which is So, because you had commented,
I couldn't remember
many weeks ago. You couldn't remember, and then it dawned on me. Anyways, so good thing that we wanted to just zip through those CW shows and then talked about them for 50 minutes. Okay, we talked about Legends for half an hour, probably.
Yeah, I was going to say, and we had other discussions in there as well. So,
but. Anyways, so CW's wrapped up.
Yep.
Superstore,
yeah. You had, total.
I watched four episodes.
Yep.
Scanners, which was unbelievably hilarious, just like you said.
Yep. Just scan guns that people could use, and they were all play. I love the, let's go this way. And she's like, well, isn't that the fast way? Yeah, but there's white people over there. I don't want to get shot. She's like, I feel you.
We got the hashtag Cloud9 fail. Which is when they start sending messages that Cloud9, they start getting more hours to get the help because they're getting all those negative reviews.
Right.
The lady there shows up to shows up to figure out who's doing it. They end up and then what's her face blames it on Sandra.
Yeah. Carol,
and then Sandra's got fired for it, and then Amy and Joan are trying to do the right thing, but then, all right, Sandra, yeah. And so because she starts getting credit, Sandra's just like, yeah, I did this. And then now they're not going to fire Sandra.
That's what I was talking about how it was a cool ending. Like, Sandra always gets picked on. She always gets shit on.
Yeah.
And in this case, she was going to get fired, and then everybody rallied behind her, and it was like, oh, she finally got her moment.
Yeah.
Where everybody actually cared about Sandra.
Right. And then the next episode we find out Sandra wasn't fired because when someone starts talking about unionizing, you can't fire them for that.
That's right.
Yeah.
Yep.
And then it went down a road I did not care about, which was Sandra being ignorant. And just to keep that attention and to keep those people on her side, she started doing like the union thing for all the wrong reasons, which Jonah was trying to do a union back in early episodes.
Mm-hmm.
For the right reasons, and no one was following him.
Yep.
And now Sandra's doing it for the wrong reasons.
And so people are following her.
And now Jonah's kind of at an impasse because he's like, in one way, she's right, but the way she's – her message is right, but her delivery is wrong.
Plus, he's sleeping with Amy, and Amy is – I love how Amy kept giving suggestions and stuff, and he kept being like, are you seriously trying to union bust? Like,
yeah.
And she's like, no, we could get some people to go in and listen in on the meetings. And he's like, that's literally the definition of union busting. And it was really funny to watch that play out because Dina and Amy didn't want the union to happen at first just because they were like, oh, we don't really want this. But then Glenn messaged them from corporate, and those were funny interactions watching him try to figure out.
Not Glenn, but what's his face?
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
The former district manager, Taylor's ex. And he's
Jeff.
Jeff, like, hey, and Jeff's here too. Yeah, Jeff, you're here. Can you see me on that so I can keep in the loop?
Yeah.
Yeah, Jeff.
Yeah. Everyone hates Jeff up in corporate. But basically, Jeff was like, yeah, they're shutting down stores left, right, and center because, you know, brick and mortar stores are dying, and they're looking at your store. And if they hear that people are unionizing, that's only going to make it that much easier to shut down the store.
So one of my favorite parts of this, though, is Amy and Dina go up to the corporate meeting because they're trying to keep the store open.
And it's a 5-hour drive.
Yes. And Jeff's like, I'll delay the meet. I'll delay everyone for you. And then they show up and Jeff's like, yeah, everyone's really pissed off that they had to wait for you. And they basically already decided this anyway, so this isn't going to do any good, but let's go on in there.
Yeah.
And I love it that one of the board people is just like, oh, call the district manager and we'll see what she has to say.
Because Amy and Dina throw the other store in their area under the bus. They're like, oh, get rid of them. They're terrible and they're bad, blah, blah, blah. And they're like, all right, let's call the district manager and, you know, see what she has to say. It's Lori, the district manager, that hates Amy. And she's like, no, you don't have to do that. And
they call her anyways. So, Lori, which between this store and this store, which one should go? Well, and then before she can answer, everyone goes, hey, Lori, Amy's here. It's Amy. Just want to let you know that I'm here right now.
I'm a little wired right now because, you know, I had a Coke on the way up here. I'm just a fiend for Coke. And Lori's just like, yeah, the other store.
The other store needs to go.
Yeah. It took me a minute on that one. I'm like, what is she talking about? Oh, that's right.
Yeah. And so it's all funny. Mm-hmm. And then they go back to – So
that episode ends and it's like, oh, okay, you know. Yeah. Jonah basically
– Oh, during this episode – while the lady's looking at the videotapes to find out who might be on their phone at this, because she's like, all right, so this message you sent this time, who's on their phones? Everybody.
Yeah, literally everybody.
Well, what about the break room? Oh, the cameras in the break room basically don't work because, you know, we had this issue where privacy, because they go back. Mm-hmm. So it's just old, wait a second, and they show Garrett letting Dina's birds loose.
Which... again, I thought that was dead. Like, I thought that whole thing had resolved itself. No. And now it came back harsh.
Yes.
Because remember, they were also, like, everybody was trying to make ends meet because their hours were being cut. Yeah. And so one of the things Garrett was doing is he collects sneakers. And everyone was kind of giving him shit about it because they're like, you can't even walk.
You can't even walk. Why do you have 100 pair of sneakers?
Yeah. But they were all, like, vintage Jordans and stuff like this. Like,
and they're all in great shape because he never walks on them. He just has them on his feet. But everyone's selling – a lot of people are selling their stuff in the store. And it's like you say, Garrett's trying to sell his sneakers.
And – Dina, when she finds out about this, she's livid, but she doesn't just go out and like, rah, rah, rah. So she lets him know and then burns all of his sneakers.
Yep.
In a big pile out back of the store. And she's like, I lost my babies. Now you lost your babies. And it hurt him. Yep. But it wasn't over there because then everybody in the store found out about that. And they're like, Garrett, you're a piece of shit.
Yeah.
You let her believe that even Glenn, Glenn, Mr. Forgiving, and that's what bothers Garrett the most. He's like, even Glenn, you know, he's like, you let her believe that. And then you went over and you did unmentionable things with her. So Garrett's like beside himself. So he has to basically try to win Glenn back by saying that he volunteers and does stuff.
Which he doesn't.
Nope. But,
so Cloud9 does an employee appreciation day to win their employees over.
Yes. And because we think, oh, okay, everything's fine. Jonah hands, Sandra, card and says, let's do this. You know, he's not going to sit by Amy anymore. He's like, you know, I know that this is going to suck, but so he hands Sandra the card at the very end of the episode. He's like, let's do this right.
The previous one. Yeah. Yep. Sandra's fight.
Yeah. So now we've got employee appreciation.
So now the store's still trying to, their store is safe and it's going to stay open. However, they don't want them to unionize still.
Right.
So they send ICE in. Because, okay, this is why I have issues with this. Corporate sends immigration to their own store to see if there's any undocumented workers. Wouldn't they know if they hired?
You would think so.
You know what I mean? Like, I
think so.
It's not like they're going to break, like, out front of Home Depot.
Right.
Which, stereotypically, in other places,
But ICE happened after they did some other stuff. Like, they were offering them an ice cream bar.
Yes.
And Frisbees. And they made them watch an
anti-union video,
which was hilarious because it was basically a woman who was talking to the Cloud9 mascot, who's like a rapper now. He's a cloud that raps. And apparently he got her pregnant. And everyone's like, what? She's like, oh, you're going to be a great dad to this little one. And they're like, wait a minute. Did the cloud actually get her pregnant?
Yeah, evidently.
But yeah, so then they're like, they were doing a bunch of stuff, but that's one of the things they said. Yeah, they were going through financials and records, and they were sending ICE down there to, which, yeah, that was way over the top.
Yeah, it was. And they're trying to find, and they're going through the records. And of course, like Mateo reveals, if you will, that he is, he's undocumented.
And it turns out that everybody except for Amy knew. Like, literally everybody, because they're all like, you told him? You told her?
Well, a couple episodes ago, he tells the janitor, the janitor maintenance, with a dock worker that we all hate that's in
Marcus.
Marcus, that who is secretly living in the store.
Who will always be famous for his, oh, yeah, right. Like, you don't take a dump in your shower and then stamp it down through the drain with your foot. Uh-huh. And everyone's like, no. Nobody does.
Nobody does that. Like... But if someone thought that up, that means someone did it at some point.
Uh-huh.
You know?
Yeah. It's like those warnings that you see on things, and you're like, the only reason this is here is because somebody did it at some point.
It's like Jeff Foxworthy with his, I was at Lamaze class, and I went to a class as the same thing. After your wife's water break, do not have sex. No shit. Like,
but they had to give that warning. But
Jeff Foxworthy, but clearly, if they're telling you not to do it, someone somewhere thought that this was a good idea.
They're like, nah, check that out. So it got dark.
It got dark near the end because ICE is there. And
everyone kind of comes together to get Mateo out of the store.
Well, they're trying to help get Mateo out of the store or hide him, and they can't. And then ICE is like, hey, this Mateo guy that's worked here for 6 years. And they're like, oh, we don't know who that is. And the guy's just like, oh, okay. And he goes to leave, and he sees Mateo's picture, and he goes, it's that guy right there. So Mateo making himself the floor manager.
Again, another his own picture up in the season. Brilliant.
You know, bit himself in the ass on that one.
Yep.
But,
So Ice, real dark. Ice gets him, and he basically says, I'm not going to fight anymore. I'm not going to hide anymore.
Dina's on the monitors watching, trying to tell them how to get out of the store.
And I love the fact that it failed. You know, because you always see that in movies. You know, it's like, go left. Or she's like, go west. And they're like, left or right? And she's like, the store runs southwest to southeast.
How do you not know which way west is in the store by now?
But she's like, you know, no, don't go that way. Don't go. And then she's like, I'm sorry. They're just everywhere. And
there's
like,
nowhere for him not to go.
Yeah. And it was a dark and sad moment.
Hold on real quick. They said, we got to get him out of the store. We need to fill the store with people to get him out of here. How do we do that? And they say, well, call all your friends and family. So they do. But then the store that just got closed, all those workers show up.
Because
Jonah called whatever her name is.
Oh, my God. That was so great.
Yes. And she comes back.
Like, you're still in communication with each other?
I love how Amy's jealousy just screams to the top.
She's like, all right, so what are we going to do? Okay, hold on. These check-ins, are they like text or are they like, you know what? Never mind. It's okay.
But... all those employees from that store show up to try to help and create this diversion, and it fails. And it literally ends with all of the workers standing out front of the store and Mateo being driven off in the back of the car. And it actually really is sad.
Yeah.
Because Mateo's just like, just stop, guys. Just stop.
Yep. And, you know, it's a very dour – like, they've ended on rough notes before, like the tornado.
Yeah. Tornado.
Ripping the store apart.
Yeah.
But this one was just like, ouch. And everybody's out there. The people from the other store, the people from this store, they're all standing there watching him go away. And Amy just goes, let's do this union thing.
Yeah. Because
Jonah's like, really? And she's like, yeah.
Because Jonah says to her, like, what do we do next? And she's like, union.
Yep. She's like, let's screw this place.
Yeah.
So –
it was good.
I can't wait for the next season.
It was good. This is a show
that's... so many throwbacks.
This is a show that started that I thought, this is just kind of like a filler. This is not going to make it. It's a half... I think the first season was a half season even.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it was tiny, and I didn't even think they were coming back, and suddenly they're like coming back. And...
yeah, season one was 11 episodes.
Yep.
It was like, okay. And then they did that like Olympic special.
Yes.
I was like, okay, which was hilarious.
It's very similar... as far as I'm concerned, to The Good Place. One of those that I was like, this will never last. And then it just kept getting better and better.
Yeah.
I'm like, holy crap, I hope it never goes away. And it won't. It just keeps getting better.
Somehow these two shows are still around. Like, but again, Superstore, for all intents and purposes, I mean, some of the ratings are real good. Apparently the ratings are good enough that it sticks around. But I think people are tapping into the fact that they want those
Smart half-hour comedies?
It's half-hour comedies, yeah.
That's why NBC snatched up Brooklyn Nine-Nine from Fox.
Yeah.
You know, they want smart half-hour comedies. Not, like, if you look at some of the ones that have come out on CBS recently, like Fam, and I can't even think of some of the other names. I just saw that they all got canceled. You know, this one. They're all getting canceled because they're dumb, canned laughter, you know, sitcoms, whereas these are, like, smart.
Why do you think my wife rewatches Friends over and over and over again? I just point to the TV because my wife is watching Friends right now. It's because it's a simple, fun, half-hour comedy that she's seen so many times now. She can have on, do something else, and just look up and go, ha, 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 and go back to what she's doing. Scrubs. She knows what's going to happen. Scrubs.
How I Met Your Mother.
Yeah. Yep. You know, perfect examples of those type of shows.
Yep.
Oh, yeah. So Superstore's done. Let's talk about The Blacklist.
Oh, okay. All right. So The Blacklist ended its season.
Yeah.
It sure did. I have one note on this episode.
Go ahead.
My one note was, all this was to cover up a hit and run.
Yeah. Seriously, yeah. The president and his wife committed a hit and run years ago. And the president
committed it. The wife was there as a witness and wanted to out him, basically.
Well, they were together in the vehicle.
Yeah.
And this is before he was the president.
Mm-hmm.
She was okay with a cover-up. Until now, she's not.
Yeah.
And now he needs to come clean. So his plan is to have his wife assassinated.
Yep.
But make it look like he's the one that's going to be assassinated. And she was not casualties of war, but, you know, collateral damage.
Yeah.
To the attempted assassination on him.
Yeah.
That's the whole plan.
This
one person uncovered, and now it's, you know, dominoing and Anna McMahon.
Season,
yeah.
They kept saying over and over again that it was the most catastrophic thing on this dossier that was a plan to attack the United States as a country. Anna McMahon kept saying that she was doing this to save the country. Because the country needed to be saved, and what they were going to do was going to save the country. And then you find out it was all basically, I Know What You Did Last Summer.
Yeah, it was. It was I Know What You Did Last Summer.
And that just, it dropped all the credibility out from underneath it, as far as I'm concerned. Yeah. Like, I suddenly felt like this whole thing and all the intrigue and all the buildup and all the people going, oh my God, I've seen what's on that dossier. Oh my God.
Right. That's all it was. Yeah, it was a hit and run crash. And
I mean, it's terrible. He killed the guy.
Right. And the president
covered
it up. Because
he was drunk driving.
And he plans on killing his wife, who doesn't want to cover it up.
He's going to kill his wife over a drunk driving thing.
Because he doesn't want to destroy his career.
Yeah. This is saving the country. And we need to keep him in the office to save the country.
Right. It was stupid.
It was.
Yeah.
It really
let me down. And then let's continue on with how stupid it was. So, like, Anna McMahon brings Homeland Security into the unit's area.
Yep.
They separate them in their cells, and they break them out, and somehow, magically, they're pulling the security door, so as the people walk by, oh, that door clicked, I should go through it. She gets them all together, and then to get caught, so then they put them in the Raymond Reddington cell.
Yeah.
And then Raymond Reddington and his team lead an ambush raid on the unit and break in, rescue everyone from the cell.
Yeah. Yeah, this really... I feel like somebody was very ambitious with this dossier. You know, one of the writers, they were like, oh, let's come up with something amazing. Maybe what they came up with originally, like, hit too close to home, or there was a problem with it, and they're like, we can't do that on TV, guys. So they came up with something...
Or they said, we'll figure out what the thing is later. This is a great storyline. Yeah. We'll figure out what it is later. Yeah.
And then they went, shit, we never figured that out. It's like waiting until the last minute before you turn in an assignment, and you're like, oh, shit, I was supposed to turn that in. I got 15 minutes to turn it in. Let me bang something out real quick.
Right.
That's what it felt like. They were like, hit and run.
So
they look over at their copy of I Know What You Did Last Summer, and they're like, bam, that's it.
So Elizabeth and what's-his-face, wrestler.
Yeah.
They go. They pose as Metro Police. They go in. They stop the assassin from killing, but of course, the backup arrives and he's like, I tried to stop them, but they got a shot off. Like, no, it wasn't us, it was him.
And even though our faces are on all the wanted lists and this guy's actually Secret Service. And
but if you check the gunpowder residue, it's on him, it's not on us. Yeah. And whatever. So then they arrest them and take them away, but of course, it's the crooked Secret Service agents and they're going to drive them down to the middle of nowhere and then kill them and leave them on the side of the road.
Mm-hmm.
They could have just shot them in the vehicle and dumped their bodies someplace else at some point. Yeah. But no, this big, of course, Remington and crew show up and save the day and yada, yada, yada. Big shootout. People getting killed. And
is this when Dembe shows back up?
And then Anna McMahon's got a gun to Raymond's head and they're doing the little Mexican standoff thing. And then Dembe takes her head off.
He really did, too. It was like the only good part.
Like, viciously shoots her in the head.
And I like his explanation. Reddington's like, you know, what's going on? He says, I told you I had to leave and walk my own path.
I did.
And keeps bringing me back to you.
Yeah.
Fair enough. And Reddington's just like, all right, let's go.
Yep. And the whole thing is because, so they stop McMahon, and then the president gets outed.
And impeached really quickly.
Well, he resigns.
Yeah.
And, you know, the president, how did a criminal bring down the president? Because you're a really bad president.
And you have really bad writers on the show.
You have a really bad team, and Raymond's got a really good team. But Raymond goes off to meet Rostova, because she's alive.
Somebody did. Was it Dembe found her?
No, someone else did.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, the guy there.
But Dembe knew about it.
Ned Stark.
Yeah.
Ned Stark found her because, you know, he's got nothing else going on.
Sean Bean, yeah.
Yeah.
And
I had to actually look that up, and I'm like, oh, yeah, look at that.
And he goes off to Paris and meets up with her, and then she drugs him.
Because she keeps that syringe in her pocket.
She calls him Raymond.
Yeah.
So I don't think it's really her.
No.
But the season ends with him being drugged and taken away.
Yeah. So next season we'll have the whole, you know, she meets up with Elizabeth and blah, 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 blah.
Oh, and that was the other thing, too. Elizabeth meets up with, like, apparently, like, the grandfather, her grandfather must have known that Katarina's alive.
Mm-hmm.
Because him and Sean Bean, when they're talking about, well, what did he tell her?
Yep.
What else was he supposed to tell her?
Brian Dennehy.
Yeah, Brian Dennehy, which,
Tommy Boy's father.
Good to see he's still around, you know?
Yep.
I think he'd like to be known for more than just being Tommy Boy's father. But, all right.
But it was such a great role for him.
Oh, New Amsterdam, that's done for the season.
I haven't even watched last three episodes.
Okay, well, dramatics happen.
I imagine they do.
Dramatic things.
Did they leave it on cliffhangers?
Of course they did. Yeah, of course they
did. I had to ask.
We're not going to talk about Cloak and Dagger.
Right, I haven't watched the last two episodes, but, you know, I've got plenty of time now since everything else is gone.
Yeah, every other show's over.
Did you ever finish Dead to Me on Netflix?
No.
Okay. I had a note on here.
I haven't yet. Kate did.
Did you like it?
No. I didn't like how it ended. I wish they kind of either just wrapped it up.
Yeah,
I really think it needs another season.
That's the thing, is I feel like they left it open for another season, and they didn't really have to.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They could have just ended it.
They could have just ended it.
Well, just tell me then, because after your reactions, I don't think I cared. I'm only on episode 3.
Yeah, but that's
I don't want to watch seven more episodes.
There's so much. No, it's still a good show.
It's still a good show.
Yeah, and there's so much that happens. Like, one thing builds on another builds on it, so it would be hard to, like, backtrace it, but.
Okay.
Yeah, you should. I just put it in my notes. I was like, oh, I wonder if Mike ever finished that. So,
I haven't watched that. I haven't watched What We Do in the Shadows.
Oh, this week was the orgy. It's a vampire orgy. And
on that note.
Do you want to talk about Game of Thrones?
Yeah, let me find
friends. Okay. you have to have a good vampire orgy because, you know, somebody, they're like, there's he who must not be named who has, you know, he had the worst vampire orgy ever. And they go, Mike.
I do want to watch the show.
It is so good. It's so funny. Like, you're going to love it.
I do want to watch it. So we're going to talk about Game of Thrones now.
Yeah.
Because it's been on. We don't have to wait to the end of the episode.
Yeah, and, you know, we've been talking about good stuff for so long. Let's talk about some horseshit.
Let's talk about the Iron Throne.
We
only have the one episode to talk about.
Yes.
Right? Okay, so here's the deal. And apparently Kate and I are in the minority. I liked it.
Okay.
I don't have any issues with the way it ended.
Oh, yeah. It was a nice storybook ending. Everyone got their happy ending. Everyone got to have their little crowns on their heads and go, ooh, yay, we all win. Everybody gets a fucking participation trophy.
I don't think Jon Snow won.
Yeah, he did.
Yeah, he did. He was sent to the, air quotes, Night Watch.
Yeah.
But guess what? There's no more Night's Watch.
There's just Jon Snow.
He got to go back up north and hang out with Tormund and Ghost, which is what he wanted all along.
Okay, so he won.
Yeah, he won.
Sansa is the queen of the North.
You know why? Because she sat in front of everybody else and went, yeah, we secede. And they went, okay.
Well, no, she actually said the North has been its own kingdom or whatever for centuries and will continue to be so.
Yeah. But, you know, before this, everyone said the Seven Kingdoms. And well, now they're like, the Six Kingdoms and the North.
Yeah.
Don't want to piss off the redhead.
So, and someone outside screaming.
Yeah, I know. But so, he said he's going to do it.
So Sansa got her crown.
Yep.
I did not see Bran becoming the you didn't see that either, I'm assuming.
What bothered me was the way that, like, Peter Dinklage gets up there, and to borrow one of your phrases, cuts this massive promo about Bran the Broken.
Yeah.
And how Bran is the only one who deserves to be on the throne. And up until this point, Bran's been like, things have to play out the way that they're gonna, you know, the world has to blah, blah, blah. And then the way that he turns into like a smug little shit, because basically Dinklage is like, you know, even Sansa goes, you know, he's not going to want it. He doesn't want to be a king, blah, 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 blah. And he's like, that's exactly why he needs to be king. And he goes, so will you accept it? And he goes, why do you think I came down here? Fuck you. Fuck you, you smug little shit. I get the power of the three-eyed raven. I saw all this coming. That's why I'm here.
You probably did see it all coming.
Then he just grabs his crotch, you know. Just,
he didn't actually do that.
No.
That didn't actually happen. But he wants Peter Dinklage to be the hand of the king.
As a punishment.
And he goes, I don't want to. He's like, I don't want to be king.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's his punishment. And like, okay, so at the beginning of the episode, Jon kills Daenerys. Did you see that coming, like, the way it happened?
No.
Neither did I.
It was perfect, though.
Do you think so?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I'm actually glad they didn't drag it out, because...
Why do you think it was perfect that Jon did it, though?
He's the only one that could get close enough to do it. He's the only one that really could do it.
I wanted Arya to do it, honestly.
I know. I was really hoping she would switch faces.
I was waiting for Jon to, like, pull back and have him, like, pull down his face, and it was Arya. But that would have been a little weird.
I think part of the ending for her in particular, you know, she was on the ship sailing to see what's west of Westeros.
That nobody knows, apparently.
Right.
Nobody knows. But that she was going as herself.
Yes.
You know, that she was going as her.
Yeah.
She wasn't going to pretend, or she was no face, right, or no name, or whatever the heck it was.
The girl has no name.
Yeah.
I wanted him, whatever his name was, the guy that she was training under, I wanted him to show up at least one more time.
He's dead, though.
Well... If he's the god of death.
Okay, fair enough. But I mean, like, the last we saw him, he was dead.
Yeah.
No, okay, so Jon kills her, which right at the beginning of the episode.
Well, fairly at the beginning of the episode.
Pretty damn close to the beginning of the episode.
Because she has that whole thing with Dinklage where she's, you know, she's like, you disobeyed me. And he's like, you murdered all these people.
Right.
You know, sup.
And then Jon goes and talks to Dinklage, and he's just like, you need to stop her. And Jon knew it when as soon as she started murdering the Red Keep. He was like, well, she's got to go. Yeah. I was just surprised it happened so quickly at the beginning.
Well,
because, okay, here's the thing. The third episode, the Battle of the White Walkers, that was so powerful. And then the fourth episode is the Breathtaker. And then the fifth episode is the Bells. And that's a powerful episode as well, because they attack and Cersei surrenders. Well, the city surrenders, and then she levels the city anyways. And so much is going on. And then now we have the last episode, which literally feels like 80 minutes of usually on a season finale or series finale, the last few minutes, you get that montage of what everyone's doing and going.
Mm-hmm.
We get literally an hour of that.
Yeah.
You know, like, I don't know.
I would have liked to have seen her rule be a season. Like, we know she was going crazy by burning the city down.
Yeah.
But would she have continued that? Was she just mad at Cersei and the people of King's Landing for being complicit?
She said,
yeah,
I'm going to take the Winterfell. In her little speech.
Yeah.
Oh, that's true.
Yeah.
I'm going to take this people down. I'm going to take this down. I'm going to do this.
Yeah. We're going to go. She's going to level the Seven Kingdoms is what she's... That was her plan.
Yeah.
And she did it in a language that Dinklage and Jon Snow couldn't understand.
Mm-hmm.
But I like when he said to him, do you think she sounded happy when she said Winterfell? Because we know she said Winterfell, yeah. You know? So we couldn't have seen a year for a rule.
Right.
You know, but I expected him to try to talk to her about it more.
Yeah.
To be honest.
Other than just daggering her.
And instead, you're my queen, you'll always be my queen. Got it.
You're my aunt.
Yeah. And then the dragon shows up, you know, cleverly named
Drogon, which is dragon with an O,
and melts the throne,
which was just weird.
I thought it was fitting.
Are we saying that he was smart enough to be like, this throne has caused all the problems. This is why my mistress is dead. I'm going to get rid of it.
But here's the thing. Like, this is my problem. Like,
yes. Yes, it is.
Grey Worm then arrests Jon Snow? On what power does he have to do that?
Well, that's the thing. Not only does he arrest him, but when we see Peter Dinklage a little while later...
It's been a while.
Weeks have passed.
Yeah. Him and Jon Snow have been in prison, blah, blah, blah. Excuse me. If the dragon didn't kill Jon Snow...
Mm. Yeah.
There's a reason for it.
Yeah. Right. And
Grey Worm's like... He's arrested them, and they don't... Who gives him the power to arrest them and hold them?
He says, I'm acting under orders of my queen.
Right.
She left me in charge,
yeah.
And I'm doing this on her behalf.
And then these people he doesn't know then says, well, we need to vote a new king. And they need to make the decision on that. And he goes, okay.
Yeah.
He's like, okay.
All right. You guys do what you got to do.
Yeah.
But then, once again, gets pissed when they're like, Jon Snow needs to be sent up north. He's like, no, he's my prisoner. I'm not letting him go. And they're like, nah, sorry, the king's spoken. He's like, okay.
Well, actually, no, the compromise, because they say Jon Snow needs to be set free, and he's like, no, he's my prisoner. The compromise is he gets sent up to the Night's Watch.
Yeah, but still, he's like,
right,
okay. Yeah, okay.
And they're like, we're going to give you this island over here for you and your people to go. And he's like, okay.
Yeah.
But again.
I don't like it, but I'm going to do it.
But again, I'm not, like, as far as being a series finale, I'm still okay with it. I'm accepting of it.
Wrapped it up enough for me.
Yes. Like, I'm not saying, going, man, I want more seasons of this show.
Oh, no.
The only thing of the, what I, okay, so I've already heard that they're working on
spinoffs.
But it's not really a spinoff. It's, actually, it takes place 10,000 years before Game of Thrones. And it's already started filming. A pilot episode's already started filming.
Why would I care about 10,000 years before this?
It's supposed to tell the story of how the Iron Throne came to be.
I thought the Iron Throne came to be from the Mad King. I thought he had it
made or the from, Seven Seas.
Or the
how the Seven Kingdoms came to be. I can't remember now, but I read that they've already started filming a prequel that's supposed to take place before. Okay. The only story I would care about seeing from any of these characters is Arya's.
Thank you. Yep.
I would love to see a series of her own of what she's doing on her adventure.
Yep.
Otherwise, I'm cool. Like you said, Jon Snow's up being happy, being banished to the north. Sansa's ruling Winterfell, and she's fully accepted there.
Brienne's writing fanfic in the book about the size of Jaime's dick.
Yeah, okay. That was a scene even you said, Kate. You said that. Okay, I could have done without this.
Yeah. Of all the scenes, they probably filmed and cut. How on earth... That
she's like 6 minutes of Brienne writing in the night's log.
Dear diary.
About
Jaime was so dreamy. I like too how
he died saving his queen, aka sister.
AKA mother of his children.
Right, yeah.
I like how in the episode before, they were in the middle of the room and the whole ceiling came down and completely buried them.
Yes.
But then when Dinklage goes down to look for them.
Exactly.
And there's nothing covering them. Like, they're completely uncovered.
He moved like three rocks and exposed little arms. Right. But it exposed both of them enough that you could see Jaime laying.
Clearly holding in each other's arms. Like, the hell?
Yeah, I did kind of find some continuity issues. Wait, that whole thing was collapsing, not just a little bit of it.
Right.
Because that was
a thing. It would have been better if maybe he had just found his hand.
Yes.
Yes.
Like, just his hands, that would have been a little bit more believable.
The gold hand, absolutely.
You'd be able to. Off, you know,
and it's all dented up or whatever from the rubble.
But, like, in this position, like a thumbs up, like, hey. No.
The hands all compressed. Like, stop.
And why was Bran suddenly interested in where Drogon went? Like, I get that it's the most powerful creature in the kingdom.
And I think that's pretty much it. Is he coming back this way to level us?
He's like, just take me out of this room. I'm going to go look for him. Yeah. I'm going to go warg into his eyes, yo.
But I think, I do think him saying, hey, where's the giant dragon that can destroy us all is valid.
Yeah. That is a very, yes.
And then we finally see, I can't think of his name now, but the one that he was friends with Jaime.
Oh, that they're letting be in charge of the money.
The, yes. The master of coin.
Yes.
With the Baratheon. Really? I know that was kind of their deal.
The master of coins, yeah. And I like, yeah. Is that enough?
Yeah.
I'm happy now? Yeah. Oh, I'm very happy now. Okay.
And then, we don't have a master of whispers. Why?
Yeah.
Why do you need one? All the kingdoms are reunited again. Why do you need a master of whispers? The king can literally look through the eyes of any living creature.
He kind of is the master of whispers, yeah. If we're being honest.
He's like, you need to be the master of whispers. It's a real easy job. I'll take care of all of this.
But as a whole, I'm okay with how it's done.
Me too.
I'm not wanting more.
No, it wrapped it up. I think people don't like that Dany died because they had this big following for her through all this whole thing that she was going to be the best. But I mean, if you really think about all the things that she's done, and all the people that she's killed, and she really never showed mercy to anybody.
No, she did not.
And then she had a rough go. I rewatched the first episode where she first goes to the Dothraki and he rapes her, and that's a real great scene. And her mother feels
totally romantic. Disgusting. Yeah.
But and so yeah, she did go through a lot, but
she goes from someone who is at first a sympathetic character, and then you're happy to see like she's giving these other people their comeuppance because she's showing strength and power.
Right.
And then somewhere along the way, we lost track of the fact that she's become the villain.
Mm-hmm.
But they don't reveal that she's the villain until the end.
I was glad to see
her. But she's realistically the villain all the way back to when she gets the Unsullied and, you know, makes that deal with that guy and then double-crosses
him. Yeah. Yeah. Breaker of chains, you know, and men's necks.
Right. So, anyhow... Like I said already, I'm happy with the way it ended in respect that I don't need to see anymore.
Yep. Yeah.
I'm not clamoring for more episodes of this show.
I think also we waited so long for this, so I think our expectations were just extremely high.
Yeah.
And I feel like I personally have forgotten so much because it's been dragged out for 10 years when it didn't need to be dragged out for 10 years or however long I've been watching the show. But... such a long gap.
Well, okay, August 27th, 2017 is the last episode of Season 7. April 14th, 2019 is the first episode of Season 8. I mean, it's a year and a half.
That's a long time.
It's a year and 8 months. That's a very long time to go from...
That's Doctor Who level gaps.
Who, by the way, my 4-year-old is in love with Doctor Who right now.
Naturally.
It's hilarious. We'll get in the van, he's like, Dad, play Doctor Who. Or, like, he'll sit on the couch and he'll watch. I play the video for him that's on YouTube of all the Doctor Who openings.
Mm-hmm.
And he'll watch it and go, which Doctor is this? Which Doctor is this? And so I tell him which number Doctor it is. And it's...
Why is the TARDIS upside down?
Yeah, why is
it flying like that?
Yeah. What's the TARDIS doing? Oh, it's going through space and time. Oh, nice. It's hilarious. Mm-hmm. It's... Yeah. Absolutely hilarious. We're in the van driving back from roller derby and wrestling last night, and he wants to hear Doctor Who, and we put it on, and he's going around like asking, like, Mama, do you like Doctor Who? No. Kanan, do you like Doctor Who? Yes, I do. Addison, do you like Doctor Who? No. He goes, the boys like Doctor Who, and the girls don't.
Seems to be a distinction that he made.
The 4-year-old figured out, no. But anyhow, I look forward to Doctor Who coming back.
Mm. Yes.
I kind of actually wish there was a Doctor Who cartoon I could show him. I think Wesley opened a thing. Or Kanan opened his vent.
Oh.
Or closed it. Or something fell on it. I don't know. Oh, is he?
Almost 9 o'clock.
Oh, yeah. He's asleep. So, no Cloak and Dagger talk.
Correct.
And thanks for joining us.
Thanks, Kate.
You're welcome.
Do you have anything other shows you want to talk about?
I'll be brief. iZombie's still great.
Yeah.
I watched all of the fourth season of Lucifer on Netflix.
Was it good? I've actually heard a lot of good about it.
Other than the fact that the first episode looked like a pilot because, like, people looked a little different and they did a lot of recapping, like too much recapping.
Yeah.
Other than that, it was actually really good.
Cool.
They introduced Eve from, you know, Adam and Eve, and yeah, made her a really believable and awesome character. The storylines were better. The characters felt a little bit better. So, yeah, I really enjoyed it.
Nice.
Killing Eve? Killing Eve, the Rome episode.
So, I did not... they just aired a new episode, didn't they? Like, yesterday?
No, tonight.
Tonight, okay.
Tonight is the season finale.
Okay, I haven't watched that yet.
Keep getting the update. No, me either.
Okay.
Because it just aired.
But I watched the Rome episode where Eve is with the fella and they're in Rome.
Yeah.
And he is, like, she shows up and has her bag with her, but basically he's like, you can't have your suitcase. I've supplied you with all these clothes. You wear what I want you to wear, how I want you to wear it. And
Villanelle, not Eve.
Villanelle. And Eve is there with, what's-his-face.
Well, what was weird about this was the fact that Villanelle, like, went with the guy that they're trying to track down.
Yeah.
And get tabs on him. And, you know, she impressed him because she clubbed him over the head with the book.
Yes.
And he sent her a copy of another book and was like, you know, when you want to learn.
No, sent her that book.
Oh, yeah. And
Aaron Peel.
Yes. And that, so, like, she showed strength there, but now she's basically, like, 50 shades with him. And
yeah, he's bossing her around.
And, yeah. He's, like, making her eat and I'm watching her eat. And, like, it's delicious, isn't it?
Like,
it was really weird.
It's a really good episode. Like, yeah, the plan is they want Villanelle to somehow convince him for her to go to Rome with him.
Yeah.
And so he invites her to go have dinner at this place and to make this dish only one week a year.
Right.
And she eats it, and she's like, oh, my God, this is phenomenal. Like, she's basically like, this is phenomenal. Aren't you going to have some? He's like, no, I'm just going to watch you eat. And he invites her to Rome. And then we find out why, though. The reason why he invites her to Rome is because she goes with him to that meeting that he insists to her it's going to be boring and makes her say, yes, this will be boring.
Yep.
And he's basically like, I know everything about everyone everywhere, but I know nothing about you. And that is driving him crazy.
Mm-hmm.
That's why he wants her in Rome.
Yes.
That's why he's – and she's got to know that she's got cameras on her, mm-hmm, which she does.
Oh, yeah.
And that's why he basically is like, you're going to wear the clothes I provide you. You're going to do everything I tell you to do and act the way, you know, because he can't control her any other way. So he's trying to control her this way. And Eve is going along – Villanelle's going along with it because that's the plan.
Mm-hmm.
And she's almost enjoying it. And they have this really weird scene where the two of them are sitting on the couch together at one point where he's basically confessing to her why he finds her so fascinating or why, you know, because I know everybody knows anything about you. And it's a really just kind of surreal scene where, like, they have this realization where they're exactly the same, but they're different.
Yes.
Because he doesn't want anything to do with other people. He doesn't want to touch them. He doesn't want to interact with them. He doesn't want to have sex with them. She does.
Yeah.
And so they're both kind of like, because he doesn't realize that they're the same, but she realizes they're the same. But even he's starting to realize, like, geez, I wonder why. So it's kind of this surreal scene to me where, like, they both realize that they're exactly the same, but they're different. And it just intrigues both of them. Mm-hmm. And I think that's why Villanelle keeps going along with it.
Right.
You know, and it's.
Now, before they went to Rome, Villanelle made a little stop.
Yeah.
At the storage locker that Eve's husband is renting.
Eve's husband and her...
His girlfriend,
yes.
Are renting the... And she basically goes in there and holds him at knife point, and we don't get to see the...
She wants his shepherd's pie recipe because
after
Eve likes
all that. And he starts rattling it off, and...
Yeah. Nico? Nico?
We don't get to see the
full... shut her up.
The full, ramifications until the end of the episode.
Yes, because basically he says Eve would never... She tells Nico, Eve would never forgive me if I ever did anything to you.
Yeah. But her, on the other hand...
And, yeah.
Well, that's what we find out, is that she knocked him out and left him in there, locked the door, and suffocated her.
Yeah.
You know, wrapped her up in the plastic wrap and
duct taped it around her neck and suffocated her.
Yep. Yeah. Killed her. So he has to wake up and see her gasping dead face.
Yeah.
Staring back at him.
While he's locked in the storage unit.
Yeah.
Yeah. So we have the final episode tonight, which I'm excited about.
Yes. I'll
probably watch tomorrow or Tuesday or someday this week.
Eve also had sex with her
yes.
assistant guy there.
Well, she did, but she had her earbud in, and Villanelle knew it, and
And I think Villanelle played with herself a little bit.
Yeah.
And the guy knows. He sees her take out the earbud in the morning. He's like, hey, thanks for the threesome.
Yeah.
And then walks out.
Because even he's like, aren't you and Eve getting a little too close?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, and there's the other thing. When Eve goes and talks to her boss.
Oh, yeah.
Her son, who she fired from the team, you know, walks up to her as she's getting ready to leave and says, hey, you forgot your charger. She's like, oh, that's not my charger. And then he starts talking really fast, like, do not go to Rome because the mission, blah, blah. And before he could give her the details, other than giving her the fanatic warning of do not go to Rome.
Right.
His mom shows up with like, do you want crunchy or creamy peanut butter?
Yeah. And he says crunchy because he's awesome.
Creamy peanut butter is the way to go.
Wrong.
Nope.
You were incorrect.
Not incorrect. Anyhow.
Yeah.
So the final episode
tonight.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to it.
Woo! It's already got a third season. They started making the third season before the second season even aired. So
the ratings on this show are terrible.
It's too bad.
But apparently good enough for BBC America.
I was going to say it's a BBC show.
So. But well, no, it's a BBC America show.
Right.
Because we talked about that. Because it hasn't even aired in the BBC yet. So maybe it does really well over there. I don't know. I love the show. I think it's fantastic. So I'm looking forward to more episodes. You know, next April, apparently, because that's the pattern. The kids are all right. We got the season finale. I like the show a lot.
I'm sorry.
Did you watch an episode?
No.
Oh.
I'm sorry because I read that it got canceled.
No.
Yeah.
Did it?
Yep.
Damn.
And I read an article where somebody was like, you know, they're obviously idiots because this was so well written and blah, blah,
it
blah.
It really was. They told great stories. It was well written. I mean, it tied it into the times. Man, that's too bad. That's an awesome show.
Yeah, I'm sorry.
Damn.
I will briefly say.
Hold on. They canceled that, but we're getting back fucking Beverly Hills 90210.
No accounting for taste.
BH.
Yeah.
90210, and it's got the original cast minus Luke Perry.
I was just going to say.
But, like, seriously? Because they tried that revamped or whatever, failed miserably. So let's bring back the original cast. Ian Ziering is 60, right?
Yeah.
I mean.
Yeah. Jason Priestley? I mean, come on.
Anyways.
The Big Bang Theory season finale was actually good. It was two episodes. They tied right in together. I won't go into the details, but it was actually a good send-off for them, and it had a very emotional moment from Sheldon, of all people.
Yeah, I kind of heard about it.
Yeah.
I'll watch it someday.
Yeah, it's worth watching.
Yeah.
They had a nice a cappella version of the theme song at the end as they all ate on the couch, which is, you know.
I'm glad. I heard it ended that way, which is perfect.
Yep.
I also heard that there's the possibility of not Sheldon and Amy, but Leonard and
Penny
spinoff.
I don't care.
I don't think anyone cares.
No.
Literally, I mean, it didn't start out that way, but Sheldon is that's the money in the show.
Right.
If he's not in it, then who cares?
Literally, because he said, I'm not going to do the show anymore, and they were like, okay, we're canceling the show. So.
Do you have any other shows to discuss?
Do you want to do Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., or do you want to wait till next week?
Let's just wait till next week.
Okay. I think that's a good idea.
I watched live in front of a studio audience.
Was that a show or is that?
It was a special.
Okay.
It was on live. Jimmy Kimmel helped arrange it. It was on live last Wednesday. They re-aired it on Saturday. It's called Live in Front of a Studio Audience, Norman Lear.
Okay.
And his shows. And Norman Lear's 96. He'll be 97 in July. He was there. He's famous. I don't know if he created. I think he created All in the Family and the spinoff, The Jeffersons.
Yep.
So they did a live spinoff of not spinoff, but they did, like, a few years ago, the BBC did a thing where they were celebrating, like, 50 years of comedy on the BBC. So they went and they redid episodes of, like, Are You Being Served? And all these other shows that were popular shows on the BBC. Like, they aired one night, like, And they were new episodes, though. They wrote a new script and they got a new cast and they filmed these episodes. Just kind of like a, hey, you know. Well, this is kind of similar. Jimmy Kimmel had a lot to do with it. It aired live on ABC Wednesday night. And they did an episode of All in the Family, then an episode of Jefferson. So they just redid episodes that already existed. But they had celebrity all-star cast. Like, Jamie Foxx was George Jefferson. And he was hilarious. Woody Harrelson was Archie Bunker.
Oh, Jesus.
And he was awesome. Marissa Tomei was his wife, Edith.
Edith?
Yes. So they had all these great cast. Wanda Sykes played Louise Jefferson and was amazing.
I bet she was.
So it's on Hulu.
Okay.
So if you want to go back and watch it, you can. I'm sure it's on ABC On Demand, but it's on Hulu. And that's what I found out about it after it already aired, so I watched it on Hulu.
Gotcha.
It was awesome.
Nice.
It was hilarious.
Nice.
The episode of All in the Family was great.
Yeah.
It's like they're saying things you just can't say.
Right.
You know?
Yeah, but Meathead was not the worst thing that show ever said.
It was an episode where they had the crossover where the Jeffersons were on the show, which makes sense. You know, you have them all there.
Yeah.
But they had Woody Harrelson and Marissa Tomei sing the theme song at the piano in front of everyone.
Boy, the way Glenn Miller played.
I mean, it was awesome. And it was great. It was really enjoyable and fun. And then for the Jeffersons, they had Jennifer Hudson sing, and they go through the whole set. So they redid the sets, which were fantastic. And on the Jeffersons, so Jamie Foxx flubbed up a line on the All in the Family one.
Okay.
Where he said it, and then he said it again real fast, the same line twice. And he goes, yeah, we're on live TV. People at home just thought their TV messed up. We're going to get through this. And Woody Harrelson turns around. The people are laughing, you know. And then it literally takes Jamie Foxx a moment to compose himself. And then they keep going on. It was
nice.
So it was, people at home just thought their TV messed up because it skipped.
Awesome.
And then later on, there's a scene in the Jeffersons where the guy lays one of the neighbors lays on the floor for George to walk on his back as he always does, and the boom mic pops down into frame. And I don't think that was on purpose, but I thought that was hilarious.
Nice.
They said the N-word on the Jeffersons, but they bleeped it out.
Oh, okay.
So there was some mistiming on the bleeping the first time where the bleep was going off and his mouth wasn't moving, and then he's like. And then the second time they said it worked out.
Okay.
As far as the bleeping was concerned, it was really great. It's the episode. In this episode, Wheezy is trying to get a. She has to get a maid, mm-hmm. So she's interviewing for a maid, and they actually got Maria Gibbs, the original maid.
Oh wow.
She's 88 or 87 or whatever it is. She like they had cast someone to play her, and then as a surprise to everyone, they opened the door and there she is.
That's awesome.
And the crowd popped big, which is cool. And she sounded the same.
Yes.
Oh, Mr. Jefferson, you know, it was good. Jack A. Harris was in it as well. So it was good. It was really good. There was other people in the cast you would probably recognize. I'm not gonna go through it, but it was fun. It was definitely worth watching.
Okay.
Apparently, the original seasons they did were season 4, episode 6 of All in the Family. Henry's farewell. The Bunkers and the Jeffersons have a farewell party for Henry, where Archie incites another argument. And then the Jeffersons, A Friend in Need, was the pilot, season 1, episode 1. And it was when they experience growing pains in their posture who digs, George demands that Louise hire her friend as their maid. However, when the couple ends up hiring sassy maid Florence instead, George and Wheezy learn you can move on up without looking down upon others. It was fun.
Good.
Fun TV. Got any trailers?
I got a couple movies.
I got some movies, too.
And I got some trailers, and I got some news.
All right, let's do it.
Two movies to watch this week.
Yep.
John Wick, Chapter 3.
Okay, that answers a question I was going to ask you later.
And Detective Pikachu.
And how was Detective Pikachu?
It was good.
Yeah?
It was surprising. I told... my friend Kelly, she was like, you know, hey, you want to hang out Thursday? I'm like, I'm going to see Detective Pikachu. She's like, I'll go see it with you. I'm like, really? Hmm. So I was surprised by that, but it was exactly what I thought it would be. It was quite sweet. It was quite cute. The CGI was great.
Okay. Unlike the Sonic CGI, and they've pushed that back to 2020 to fix it.
And then John Wick Chapter 3 was some outstanding action.
Yeah.
there is literally no way that John Wick should be alive.
Oh, I believe it.
What we were talking about way back in the beginning, I said I've got something to talk about with that. There's no reason he should be alive. Like, yeah. The amount of beatings and bullets and swords and everything that he took, a fall off an 8-story building, he should be dead. There's literally no reason he should be alive.
Okay.
But this one had some really good fights, including, I hope I don't butcher this, Mark Dacascos.
Okay.
Who, you know, has had everything in his life from being a capoeira fighter to a Brazilian MMA fighter to the judge on Iron Chef.
Yeah.
The chairman on Iron Chef.
Yes.
And he did a phenomenal job.
Oh, I'm sure he did.
Him and his ninja buddies. The thing about the John Wick movies that I will say that kept true, especially in this one, these movies are more about the world rather than John Wick. Like, the world that they created, the rules.
Yeah.
Watching the...
Well, I think the first one's about him.
Yes.
With some touches of this world. The second one, they do the deep dive into the world.
Dude.
Yeah.
The third one, the world is everything. Like, talk about the high table, and they've got adjudicators, and...
Do you think they have established this now in the third movie, so they continue doing movies in this world without John Wick?
I don't know, but the fourth movie's ready to come, or it's already being worked on.
Oh, John Wick 4, yeah, yep. Yeah, it's true. So that's true.
They could easily do that. They could easily have this world have movies without John
Wick. Well, you know, tonight we're going to go see Brightburn
at
10. I was going to ask if you want to go see John Wick at 9:50 instead. I've already seen John Wick.
I have.
So let's go see Brightburn.
Yes, let's see Brightburn.
I do want to see Brightburn.
As of right now, it's 9:10, so if we suddenly shift into high gear and, you know, spin through some stuff, it's just because we want to make that 10 o'clock showing.
Yeah.
So,
but I got to put socks on still.
But both of those movies were definitely worth seeing. John Wick 3, the world more than anything. Like, Keanu Reeves looked a little rough doing some of the fighting. It was a lot less gunplay this time and a lot more... I will also say the scenes with Halle Berry were awesome. They had some scenes with her where they gave her, like, center stage presence and really well done. Detective Pikachu was quite enjoyable.
I watched three movies.
Three.
I watched Fighting with My Family.
Oh, how was it?
I really enjoyed it.
I bet you did.
Way better than I thought it was. I was actually kind of like, I don't want to watch this stupid garbage. But it was way better than I thought it was going to be, because I thought it was going to be more focusing on Paige and her being in the WWE and what's going on with her and this and that.
I got the sense that it was more about the world of wrestling as a thing and her family and ties. And...
Nope, it's not about that either.
Okay.
It's about Paige and her brother. Yes, it's about her family and their wrestling company that they do and everything. That's part of it. But that's not the focal point. I thought Paige, where she's the big star, was going to be the focal point. But her brother is just as much as the star in this movie as she is.
And was that played by, what's his name there, from Shaun of the Dead?
Yes.
Okay.
No. You mean the dad? No, her dad was...
That's her dad. Okay.
That's her dad. Her brother is another British actor. I can't think of his name. But I really enjoyed the movie more than I thought I was going to. Yeah.
Yeah, I actually, when it comes on HBO, I'll probably check it out.
I think you should. I got it out of Redbox. I got all three of these out of Redbox.
Okay.
So I watched Happy Death Day to You.
That I want to see.
Dude, I got to tell you, the first one, we have the days repeating itself. We have no idea why.
Yep.
And in this one, we find out why.
Oh, good. Good. I want to know why, but I want to learn it.
It's really good.
Good.
Yes.
Oh, I'm so excited now.
The movie is, I was like, I was very impressed. Like, you know,
that's one of those movies I would buy. I bought the first one, and I would probably buy the second one.
I'll tell you now, you might as well just go buy it.
Okay.
Instead of waiting for HBO, because it's worth watching.
Good.
If you've already bought the first one, buy this one.
Awesome.
Yes, because the cast is back. A lot of the original cast is back. Some new cast is back. I mean, they deal with... I'm not going to give it away.
Good.
I'm going to stop.
Good.
But
we find out
why, and when we do, it's like, this is awesome.
Oh,
and
the
actress, it's great.
Okay.
Yes. I think I might have messaged you the day I was watching it with Happy Death Day to You. It was effing awesome.
And I was just like, I wanted to keep it as basic as possible, because I'm like, I don't want it ruined. I know he wouldn't ruin it, but I just want. So I was like, great, or something like
that. No, it's well worth watching.
Nice.
Then I watched Cold Pursuit.
Oh, my God. The Liam Neeson.
Yes.
Liam Neeson's is a snowplower?
Yeah.
Oh, wow. Was it bad? Was it so bad that it was good? Was it exquisite acting?
Okay, so when I saw the trailer for Cold Pursuit, I thought it was going to be a serious thing.
I thought it was going to be a comedy.
Oh, no. See, when I saw the first trailer, okay, it looked like this is a guy. I thought we were up in Alaska somewhere. He keeps the road open in the winter. That's his job. You can't get in and out of town without him. His son dies. He looks into it. He investigates what happened to his son, and he's able to take some vigilante justice. I thought that's what it was going to be. Then the second trailer, I'm like, is this a comedy?
Yeah.
Well, it's pushed as a black comedy.
Okay.
But I wouldn't even call it that.
Okay.
After every time somebody dies in the movie, which is a lot, they pop up on the screen with their name and like a tombstone. Like the screen goes black and they just have their name on it. And they put like a cross or a Star of David or whatever is in relation to them, because there's Indians in it that die. So every time someone dies, like you may not see them die or like so this is where it is funny. Like you may not see them die or like say like, something happens and they just kind of, the camera pans away and then, oh, this guy's dead now.
Okay.
You know what I mean? Like you didn't see them die, but it's obvious they're going to kill him. So instead of just filming them shooting this guy in the head.
Does the tombstone have like the way that they died?
No.
Or any kind of funny inscription?
No, you just know either they got shot or murdered or something happened.
All right.
But it's just dead.
Okay.
So it's kind of like, okay. All right. Sure. But I wouldn't watch it again.
Okay.
I can't give it a hard sell.
Okay.
I can give it a, hey, if you see it on HBO, it's worth watching some night.
Yeah.
But, like, it's not a, oh, go rent this on Redbox and sit down and really enjoy it type of sell.
By the way, Halloween's on HBO right now.
I bought Halloween the second it came out. Cool.
Yeah.
But I own it on Blu-ray, and I have it on digital. And, yeah. I've actually been waiting, which is so stupid, because I'm like, I'm waiting for the right time so I can sit down to watch the special features on it.
Mm-hmm.
And those times have come and gone. I just forget that I have it to do it.
Oh, yeah.
I forget, oh, I should watch that. It's like I've had the unrated edition of the new Evil Dead flick because apparently when they sent it over to UK to air,
mm-hmm.
they sent a different version of the movie. Like he had edited it down to like this 98 minutes that he really loved. And then when he sent it over there, they sent like the 105-minute version.
Oh, wow.
So it aired over there, and people were like, oh, there's a different version. And so finally they released it here, but they released it on that DVD, Blu-ray on-demand type thing.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
So it's like most stores don't carry it because, like, Bull Moose does, and that's where I bought it. But most stores don't carry it because you have to go on Amazon and you order it, and they burn you a copy and ship it type of thing.
Gotcha.
So I have that, and I have yet to watch that with those extras in it either.
Fair enough.
Anyways, that's it there for me on movies.
So trailers.
Yep.
I watched one for a new TV series called Next, and I had to actually look it back up so that I could know what it was, so it didn't make that big of an impression.
Yep.
Something about a rogue AI, and they're trying to build this new AI, and then the AI goes rogue and traps people and stuff. Whatever. Black Mirror Season 5. We saw a nice trailer for that.
There's only 3 episodes, I believe.
Correct, but they're all longer, I believe.
Yeah, and it looks great. I'm glad to see it.
It does.
It looks really good.
Star-studded.
Yes.
You sent me a trailer for one called Stumptown.
Thank you. I'm trying to find the name of it. It stars Colby Smulders.
Yep.
Series centers on a sharp-worded Army veteran who becomes a private investigator in Portland, Oregon, where she also takes care of her brother. I'm going to watch it. It's on ABC. It looks good.
Oh, well, I have a Google News alert that says, Killing Eve Season 2 Finale Explained. I'm like, oh, I'm not going to read that.
Read that one.
No, I'm not going to read that, but I like the fact that there's already a story out there that's like, all right, we got to explain this shit.
Yeah.
Love it.
Yeah, Stumptown looks good. I'll check that out. You got any other trailers?
Yes. And you do as well. I do. Stuber.
Oh, I talked about Stuber a while ago. I watched this trailer like weeks ago and sent it to you. Yes.
I don't remember you sending it to me, or I would have like...
Oh, I did. I know I at least talked about it here. It's okay. Dave Bautista and what's...
Kumail Nanjiani.
Yeah, thank you. And it looks awesome. It's like it's his Uber. Bautista's a hitman, and he hires an Uber to drive him around. It's basically like the taxi driver from Deadpool.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, it looks great.
His name
great.
Is Stu, and that's why it's Stuber.
Yeah, it looks great.
It does.
Yeah.
Yeah. I was surprised. You know what doesn't look great? I hate to say this, but what doesn't look great is Terminator Dark Fate.
Okay, so I watched the trailer, and I just kind of went, huh.
Yeah, that was my response, too.
Yeah,
I didn't, like, jump out of my seat or get all excited. I sent it to people, like you.
Yeah.
But I was like, huh.
I was like, I mean, it looks action-packed, and we got a new, like, T-1000 type guy or whatever, but, huh.
Yeah.
I think the thing that they wanted to focus on the most was James Cameron's back.
Yeah.
So go watch it, people.
And Tim Miller's directing it, and he directed Deadpool.
Yeah.
Okay.
I'll probably, I mean, I don't know if I'll go to, I'll watch it at some point.
I don't know if I'll go to the theater.
I'll watch it at some point. Yeah.
Star Trek Picard had a teaser.
Yeah, and it was just a teaser.
I'm going to watch the show anyway.
Well, okay, so I thought I would have ordered CBS All Access by now to get Twilight Zone, and mm-hmm. I haven't. I do want to watch them eventually.
Discovery has two seasons out there that's supposedly really good.
Yeah, and now that all our shows are over,
it would be the ideal time.
To grab a month of it and watch so you can watch Twilight Zone, Picard, Discovery Seasons 1 and 2.
But you got to wait for Picard to come out and then run all of its episodes, so you may be waiting a while. And then
you sent me a trailer or something that I watched, and I replied back to you, what the fuck did I just watch? I'm trying to think of what it was.
That's what I was about to get to.
Yeah.
Probably the coolest trailer that I saw this week, season 3 of Westworld.
Yeah.
If I hadn't known that it was Westworld, I would have been like, oh, this is like Blade Runner.
Yeah.
Because it was all futuristic, and it was Aaron Paul, and he's talking about, like, you know, they thought they were real and blah, blah, blah. And I'm like, this is kind of cool. And then, you know, right at the end, we bang out with Dolores showing up, being all injured. And I'm like, okay, did she make good on her promise to get out into the real world? Is this another park called Future World? You know, you got to figure with the technology that's in the parks, the outside world must have, you know, pretty high-tech stuff as well. So all the flying cars and the shit that looked like it was out of Tron might have been legitimately the real world.
Yeah.
I was excited. It looked cool no matter what.
I'm excited that Westworld's coming back in 2020.
I know.
But I'm excited Westworld's coming back. I'm looking forward to... You haven't watched Chernobyl yet, right?
Oh, yes. I watched half of the first episode and said, this isn't for me.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, this sucks, but...
I'll talk about it next week.
Okay, yeah, I watched half the first episode, and I went, you know, this just isn't for me. I'm not interested, so...
The wife and I are enjoying the show.
Good.
And there's a companion podcast.
Oh, okay.
That and the guy that does Wait, 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 Don't Tell Me, I can't think of his name right now, and he hosts it, and they basically, like, the episode airs on Monday... And then Tuesday, you can listen to the podcast of them talking about the episode and giving you some insight. And it's, I mean, that podcast companion, like, that's awesome.
But
because they fill in, because you don't need to listen to the podcast to watch the show and appreciate it, but it gives you more of an appreciation for the show, especially when they say, like, oh, well, this person isn't a real person. It's a composite of a bunch of characters into one, and then but this person is a real person. This is their account of what happened, and it's kind of like, oh wow, you know. So you don't have that strictly dramatization either, you know.
Right.
So
news you can use.
The only thing I had was the Robert Pattinson thing and the Sonic being pushed back. The news I had, I've mentioned throughout.
Okay. I've got a few things that I mentioned throughout, but this will mean probably nothing to you, but I'm excited. I'm sure plenty of people listening to our podcast are excited. They finally said season 4 of Rick and Morty is coming in November of this year.
Woo!
That's exciting. That's friggin' awesome. Rick and Morty has a set date of November, but yeah.
And when was the last episode? It was a while ago.
Yeah, it was like last summer.
Yeah.
But they were just like, yeah, we're going to come back for more, and they didn't know. And then all of a sudden, Cartoon Network was like, oh, we're giving them 72 new episodes.
Yeah.
And a season's like 10 episodes. But yeah.
It's kind of like, I listened to a new podcast called Running from Cops, which was excellent. It's only 6 episodes. It's about 40 minutes an episode. And it basically, if you like the TV show Cops or live TV, it breaks down kind of like, it gives you a point of view from officers that have been on the show, people that have been arrested on the show. They talk to the producers, and it kind of is like, it's definitely looks negative to cops and live PD. And they even talk to the towns that, like, where these shows are filmed and how it affects the towns. It's really fascinating and interesting.
Thanks.
But it was one of those same things, like you said, A&E loves live PD so much, whatever. They just ordered not new episodes, 450 hours.
Wow.
An episode is 3 hours typically.
Damn.
You know?
That's crazy.
Well, if you think about it, 450 hours, 150 episodes.
Yeah. Wow.
Isn't that craziness?
That is crazy.
Yeah. It's like the Rick and Morty thing. A season's 10, so we'll have 7 more seasons of it?
Yeah. as I mentioned earlier, John Wick 4 is already in the works. They've already given a release date.
Yep.
May 21st of 2021.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. So they're that confident. They're like, it will be out then.
Oh, wow.
Okay. This one, I have no idea. Literally everything that I saw on this, they were like, this is not a joke. This is not a fake. This is actually happening.
Okay.
Saw is getting rebooted.
Oh.
By Lionsgate.
Yeah.
And with Chris Rock.
Yes.
Why?
Yeah. I saw a headline and I went, what? That's fake news, and moved on.
And everybody said that. And that's why they had to start putting out things saying, this is not fake. This is legit. So I don't know why.
Well, they just came out with Jigsaw last year.
Yeah.
Year before. I don't really think we need a Saw reboot. Like, okay, realistically, whatever. They're just going to keep rebooting movies forever.
Yeah. The only one that I'm interested in right now is Jane Silent Bob reboot. And I kind of want to see that.
Do you?
I do.
As much as we shit on Kevin Smith now?
Oh, yeah. Because he got everybody to come back. And he's basically making fun of the reboot process because they're rebooting Jay and Silent Bob Strike Back, because Jay and Silent Bob at the beginning of the movie discover
they're that rebooting the movie. Chronic, yes.
So they decide to go to Hollywood, but apparently this time, instead of like trying to get on the bus and then hitchhiking, they try to get on a plane, and that doesn't go so well. So then they discover a rideshare app that's called like Ride Me Hard, and they got a lot of people involved in it. I will check this out.
So all the different drivers and the rideshare app type of thing.
Yeah.
I wonder if they got Carrie Fisher before she died to be the nun again.
I don't think so.
That'd be hilarious.
They also didn't get George Carlin.
Well, he's been dead years. Yeah. But we saw him live once.
Yes, we did. I laughed out loud when I read this. I'm sure you saw this as well. New Coke is coming back to store shelves this summer for Stranger Things. Which lasted what?
So, yes, it is, but no, it's not.
89 days, I think it was.
It's not coming back to shelves.
Why not?
It's only being released on their website.
Okay.
And apparently, when I went in to try to order some last Thursday.
Why?
Because I wanted to.
I knew, of all the people that I know, I was like, Mike will do that, because he's the type of guy that would order that just to go, yeah, I did it.
So, hold on. So, I tried. I got all the way to the point where I put my credit card in, and then it goes review order, and then it takes you to the next screen where you hit submit.
Mm-hmm.
Before it got to the next screen, timed out, because the site kept crashing. So I went back in a while later, and I went through the process again, and I get down there, and it timed out again. So it timed out on me 4 times. Okay?
Okay.
Never got to the point where I hit submit order. Never got a confirmation email saying, hey,
but you got this billed worked. 4 times.
I got an email today going, hey, sorry about the mistakes. Anyone that got billed multiple times, we're going to refund all but your original order. I'm like, well, good thing I never made an order. Hey, I better check that account that I used to buy that, that I only pay my automatic debits out of.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, I got billed 4 times. Never got to the point where I hit submit order, though. That's what's frustrating to me.
Ouch.
And it's the weekend.
Yeah.
And it's too late. Because I even checked after the first time I went online to that banking. I looked. I went, well, there's nothing there. There's no hold. There's nothing showing. So it must not have gone through.
Yeah.
So basically, yeah, it's only on CokeStore.com/1985.
Okay.
And you can only buy 2 cans at a time.
So you bought 2 and Kate bought 2 and Kanan bought 2.
Nope.
Nope.
I only bought 2.
Okay.
Well, it comes with 2 cans of New Coke and then like a glass bottle of Coke and Coke Zero. Which it's not New Coke Zero or New Coke glass bottle. Right. And it's collector stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And I was just like, ah, why not? I want to drink New Coke again. Like, just try it.
Oh.
I've hated Coke for so long, and now I love Coke Zero with a passion. So
fair enough.
But anyways, and it's just kind of neat. I just said, screw it. I work 40 hours of overtime a week. I can buy myself, you know, 2 cans of soda for $18.
The last 2 bits of news.
Hold on. I'm almost done.
Okay.
So they only made 500,000 cans. And then Coke was surprised when the site crashed. Because this is not just Stranger Things fans that would want this. It's Coke collectors.
Yeah, which there are a lot of.
And if you go on eBay, people are already selling them on eBay for like $300. Anywhere between $80 and $300 I've seen them on eBay for. Which they're not even shipping until the first week of June.
Oh, yeah. I see that in video games all the time.
Yeah.
You know, new systems come out and they crash the sites and then they're like, oh, sorry, that's all of it. And you see people selling them before they've even shipped. Same thing. I totally get that. Again, something that won't matter to you, but I'm sure some people out there care about, is there's several reports are pointing to the fact that one of the upcoming Star Wars movies is most likely going to be based in the Knights of the Old Republic universe.
Okay,
which
so...
I'm very excited
okay,
about.
Here's the thing about that. That's all fine and dandy, except they basically said that didn't exist.
They never said that the Knights of the Old Republic didn't exist, because that took place 1,000 years before A New Hope.
But didn't they do away with all the books? Everything once Disney bought it, they said...
They did away with the expanded universe stuff,
yes.
Which was the stuff that came in between and, like, the New Jedi Order. Things that would have ruined the continuity that they have now. This is all stuff that came out before anything that we've seen. You know, Yoda is 900 years old. This took place before him.
I would say to you...
Good day?
Good day, no. Do you think anyone's going to care about the Star Wars universe outside of the Skywalker storyline, if you will?
Yes.
Except Rogue One was so good.
I can honestly say there have been two Knights of the Old Republic games that were phenomenal hits and everybody loved them, that was a fan of the video games, etc. Also, there is an MMO called The Old Republic, which takes place in that time period, and... It does fairly well. I won't say that it's a big one, but it's still going. So, yeah, I think that there is an audience for it, and just based on fans. And then anybody else is going to be like, oh, it's not Solo. Woo!
I liked Solo.
I know. I know you did. But we're still friends.
But here's the thing. The reasons you hate Solo because of we saw everything we knew, blah, 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 is the reasons why I like Solo, which is hilarious to me.
Right.
I wouldn't mind seeing a sequel to Solo.
So?
I just want to see Donald Glover as Billy Dee Williams Young.
You did.
Again.
I was going to say you did. They've announced that they are moving forward with Kung Fury 2.
Nice.
And Arnold Schwarzenegger and Michael Fassbender have signed on.
Oh, shut up. Seriously?
Yep. This is the report from the Hollywood Reporter. Hold on. I believe that that's from the original one. Never mind. So the sequel is moving forward. We're going to have Schwarzenegger and Fassbender at least. I don't know if he's getting like a full budget this time, but
Kung Fury was awesome.
It was so stupidly awesome. I loved it. But that's all I got this week. These weeks, I should say.
Well, I got nothing else to add either. So I guess we'll wrap it up.
Next week we'll talk Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. You'll talk some Chernobyl.
Yep.
We'll do the Killing Eve finale.
We'll talk about Brightburn, apparently.
Brightburn, yep.
Because we're about to jump out the door to go see that.
Yep.
And that's that. So until then, I'm Superstar Mel on the Twitter.
I'm the Quantum Geek, G33K.
And that's it. My wife's not on Twitter.